The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan podcast by night, all day.
This episode is brought to you by Dr. Squatch. Look, it's important to take care of yourself, and it's equally important that you use the right products like Dr. Squatch. They have high-performing natural soaps and more with no harmful ingredients, so you can look and smell your best. Try their Pine Tar Bar Soap and Lotion, Bay Rum Deodorant, or Woodland Pine Cologne. Most of their scents are available across multiple products, so if you really like it, you can get a whole lineup. And right now, they have an amazing offer for new customers. Get 20% off your first purchase of any amount or a subscription order by going to drsquatch.com/JRE or use the code JRE at checkout.
Powerful Ben Hoffman. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
What's up, guys? How about that fucking David Lee Roth podcast?
Did you like that?
Dude, here's what I loved about that. I'm not saying this to... I didn't want to start with the ass kissing, but I'll do it anyway. David, isn't he the kind of the king of the just like the interviews where he just like... Again, nothing against him, but like his normal interviews are just like kind of one-liners and like...
Yeah,
he's covering up for something. He doesn't...
He prepares.
But in this kind of scenario, he can't...
Yeah.
For 2 hours, you can't just sit here and do like... Shtick. Bippity-bop and shtick. Shtick is the word I'm looking for. He just does... I've seen a million David Lee Roth interviews, and he just does his fucking shtick.
Yeah.
I'm like, who is this man? You don't know anything.
Right, right.
But he came in, and you're stuck here for 2 hours, you know, like in a good way or a bad way. But God, that was a great fucking David Lee Roth interview.
Yeah, we found that, it was, first of all, it was surreal as fuck. Yeah. Just sitting there talking to David Lee Roth going, that's really David Lee Roth.
Crazy.
Shows up by himself, okay, zero entourage.
Kind of Ben Hoffman style.
And suspenders, what are those things called?
Yeah, he had suspenders on. Like, overalls.
Overalls. Yeah. I used to wear that shit and no
he
shirt.
He was wearing overalls.
No underwear.
Yes.
Dude, he's cool as fuck. He's just a regular guy that happens to be one of the greatest rock stars the world has ever known.
I mean, the things he's seen, man.
And when you say it to him, you know, like, well, you know, but listen, man, you're one of the greatest rock stars the world has ever known. It's like, yeah, I guess. You know, he's like, I mean, he's not a fool. He's well aware of who he is, but he doesn't let it get in the way of anything. But he's living in Japan.
Yeah, that's what he was saying on the thing, but it was just weird to see him. It was almost like out of character.
Yes.
It was like seeing him as a human, which you don't think of him as, he's like a superhero.
Right, I know. Yeah, it was his Well, I was really fortunate that I hung out with him one night at the Comedy Store, so I got to see the real David Lee Roth. He came. It was one of the weirdest things ever. Like, you don't ever know who's in the crowd when you're on stage because the lights are bright, and you get off stage, and all of a sudden you see someone, and you go, "Oh, wow! You just watched that." You know, and David Lee Roth comes up to me and goes, hey, man, I just want to tell you, I didn't think you were going to be funny. Like, what the fuck, man? You blew my mind. He was like, it was so nice. He goes, I just assumed, like, that's the Fear Factor guy. Seems like a nice fellow. How funny could he be? Holy shit. And he was, like, just super, like, charismatic and hilarious. We hung out with him for fucking hours, right?
Yeah.
It was like 2 hours just chilling at the store. A few years back.
And we have it. Actually, I have it all on video.
The conversation.
The whole entire thing is on video somewhere in this humongous pile. Of
the archives.
I want to watch that.
Yeah, we should get that somewhere. I don't think he wanted that out, though.
His manager contacted me.
Light that shit on fire, actually.
Yeah. It was already destroyed.
I take it back.
Did a little conversation about Porsche. Might have talked about Porsche.
Joe, your shirt is so bad. Can you show your box real quick?
If people can see the shirt, it says House Rogan. I got this from Game of Thrones today. They sent me this box. It says House Rogan on it, and I guess they're sending these to all the supporters of the Game of Thrones, people who are like super fans, and I couldn't stop talking about the show. Ever since I started watching it, I'd been tweeting it like crazy, and apparently it got back to them, so they sent me this fucking amazing box that says House Rogan on it, and when you open it up, it plays the theme song. And it has two DVDs in there.
Blu-rays.
The first season and the second season, which I already own.
Show the Scooby-Doo. The Scooby-Doo part.
Oh, yeah. There's a secret button. When you press a button, this thing pops out and a scroll.
It's called an HBO boner, right?
Look at that. I guess you would hide your drugs there after you got rid of those DVDs.
Oh, that's a good idea.
If you weren't a high
By the way, just to clarify, I'm guessing they're not sending it to all super fans. Some of the just the top tier of super fans probably get the giant.
Well, I know you're a super fan.
I know Patton got one. Patton Oswalt showed the first picture. No. That's how I knew what it was before I opened the box.
Oh, really?
Because it looked like a cigar humidor, and then I remember seeing Patton's photo, and I said to my wife, I'm like, I told her what it was before I opened it, but I was like, God, if I'm wrong, I'll be so sad.
Right.
So this is the scroll. They put a scroll in the secret compartment. You have to press a button. It says, Loyalist of House Rogan, the new season of Game of Thrones is almost here. Show your passion for the series and use this limited edition case to share your exclusive Game of Thrones content with your followers. If you've been waiting for a reason to catch up, consider this it. Rally your fans. March 31st cannot come soon enough.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty badass.
That's awesome. I wish they would send me a girl's
That's
one.
Pretty
send
cool.
Send me some used panties or something. From that show, Girls. Big fan.
They have
Support
that show,
them.
Girls?
Yeah, it's like Sex in the City for us, younger age.
It's Sex in the City for girls.
Yeah.
Is it good?
But for like younger, no, it's like younger crowd, I guess.
No, it's Entourage for girls.
They have full on sex in it, though.
Like, Entourage was Sex in the City for guys.
Oh, right.
And this is Entourage for girls.
Entourage never did a goddamn thing for me. I don't know what it was. I tried. I gave it a shot. But I would watch Entourage and I'd go, okay.
I just like the scenery.
I mean, everybody looked pretty.
Yeah,
girls have straight up porn in it though. Like it's pretty much watching a porn.
Yeah, they went
show shooting on the chest, like loads on the chest and everything.
You know what?
Really?
I'm gonna go buy that Blu-ray. Right
they
there.
Show loads on the chest.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. How do they do that?
I don't know. Cause it's
so like the girl's cupping her tits, and you see like
you just see the aftermath of him shooting on her chest.
You actually see it hit.
I can't remember. I think it was just on the chest.
So you just see it.
You see it.
Her tits, raw tits.
I can't remember. I'll find
you're
out.
You're acting like you didn't rewind it.
Yeah, now you're fucking hedging your bets here. What happened? What really happened? Did you see loads on tits?
Yeah, you did. You see loads on tits. I don't remember if it was showing a shot on her tits or if it was just after.
And so this is just about a bunch of freaks who live together and fuck the shit out of everybody?
Pretty much.
Is it good?
I just got into it.
What's so good about it?
It's just
you heard the part about loads on chest. What
hot chicks,
you need?
Hot
that's
chicks.
All over the internet, man. That's 90% of the internet. It's funny how little that's represented in the real world. It's like finally loads are starting to represent in modern media.
It's about time.
Like, it's a big part of people's life online. Loads are a huge part of people's life online, but on Comedy Central, you rarely see loads.
Right. Do you think it would screw you up if you were a kid now watching all this internet porn?
Yeah.
And you would think that's how sex is supposed to end?
Well, they say that a lot of girls are having anal sex now because of that. That it wasn't really nearly as common in the 80s, 90s, what have you.
It's crazy. It's crazy to me to think, like, doesn't every porn you watch basically end, like, in the face?
Most of them do.
Yeah. Like, if you're a kid, if I was watching that, I'm like, that's how babies are made, I guess, I would think, you know?
Well, I don't think they're thinking about making babies. I think they're thinking about fucking. And the problem with that is you're watching people don't fuck like people really fuck. You know, like it's not normal for a girl to spit on your dick and then you just shove it in her ass. Like that is pretty rare.
I'm saying I'd be weird to be a kid nowadays. I wonder how that would fuck with
me. It fucks with you hardcore. Yeah. Well, look, porn has made one dominant victory in our culture, and that's in the world of pubic hair. Porn
That's true.
Dominated.
Crabs is going away. Did you hear about that?
Really?
Because of that?
Because everyone's shaving.
But
there's no more crabs.
That STDs, you're more likely to catch STDs when everyone's shaved.
Really?
Yeah, so crabs over STDs. I think I'll take crabs.
I guess you're right. Why is that? Because you're closer and more contact and stuff?
Yes, I guess. Then maybe the natural flora in your pubic hair acts as some sort of a preventative barrier.
Like why you're supposed to have eyebrows. It keeps the sweat out of your eyes.
Yeah, that's what it's there for, right?
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I don't know if that metaphor works, but
that's what it's for, right? I mean, that's exactly why it's above your fucking eyes.
No, that's what eyebrows are for. I'm not sure if that's the pubic hair metaphor worked.
And people that are from really funky climates, that's why they have that unibrow. It's for the whole face,
yeah,
bitch.
Yeah, so they don't want it on the nose.
They don't want it rolling down into your eyes. You don't get the unibrow in the blonde communities because they're freezing their dicks off up in Iceland. Okay, right? But you want to go to Persia, those motherfuckers are hot. It's hot over there.
I never thought about it like that. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I'm dropping science on you, Ben Hoffman.
I had no idea.
Pubic hair was supposed to attract birds, actually.
I was saying before, I need to learn more about eyebrows and pubic hair.
Pubic hair was supposed to attract birds.
Yeah, and they were supposed to make nests on your crotch.
You need to think about some of this shit before you say it and wonder if it's worth doing. Because that one wasn't. Whatever. I say no. Don't you whatever me, fuck. Whatever. You save that shit for Muff said, okay? On this podcast, I want your A game. So Game of Thrones, they also send you a flash drive with a bunch of images and social media. They give you like a banner that you could put on your Twitter page that says House Rogan. Look at that.
Oh, that's pretty badass.
Oh, it's got your name on it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I'll throw that shit up before the premiere. It should have the premiere.
It's doing its job, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they're fucking badass, man. That is a really clever use of marketing.
HBO knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, HBO is on top of shit. They have so many fucking good shows.
They show loads on the chest, too.
Apparently. Yeah. Allegedly. Yeah. I'm not buying it. I would have heard about that. This motherfucker... suntan lotion. He thinks it's loads.
No. It was loads. It was after head. Sex.
Hits his head and runs straight over here and gets on the mic.
Did you hear?
No research.
Did you hear about that kid in Ohio that wearing the Ohio the killer shirt and all that shit? He shot up and killed, I think, 3 people in a school, and then he got life, and he's getting life in prison. But and what he did is he took off his shirt. He had like an outside collar shirt on. And during the last hearing, he took off his shirt and it said killer. And then he like looked at the victim's eyes. Like his last words is like, I want you to know like this hand that shot your kids, I used to masturbate every night or something like that.
Thinking about them.
You know, and like
he said that.
Yeah, look.
Look
at this fucked up kid, man.
When was this?
This was yesterday. And yeah, it's this big thing right now because now, you know, like the people are getting in trouble because how did he get that shirt past the security guards and stuff like that? And I guess, you know, it just caused, you know, all the families to burst out in tears and all this. I mean, this kid is a fucking piece of shit. And his sister.
Why are you talking about this?
Because we were talking about like how porn was affecting kids earlier. And I'm just talking about like how kids have been like these crazy kids nowadays.
Well, there's always been crazy people, man. I don't really want to dwell on this guy, though. I don't like talking about this kind of shit. I think that's the worst. Not only that, this whole serial killer thing, it feeds off of you talking about it. That's how these guys get this idea in the first place of becoming special. Because they know that if they do something really fucked up, a bunch of people will talk about it. And that's inevitable, but there's a lot of things to concentrate on this life. If you want to start concentrating every day on how many fucked up people there are in the world, you become Nancy Grace.
Yeah. I'm just saying this is what's hitting the news if you heard about it yet. That's fucking. Okay. That's what everyone's
talking
about.
Why are you blaming that on porn, though?
No, I'm just saying how fucked up kids are nowadays.
It's one kid. Like, most kids are not.
With the school shootings.
This is the greatest time to live ever as far as violence.
Never mind.
There's some people that are fucked up, but the amount of them in comparison to the rest of the human population, it's way less. This is the safest time to ever be alive. It's 300 million fucking people in this country, and every now and then one of them blows a fuse.
I like your view, though, of not giving them the coverage. That's an interesting way of doing it. Don't give them the fucking time of day.
Well, it's just you can concentrate on that for every show, every day, if you wanted
to. That's true.
There's enough out there. There's constantly fucked up things out there. But that kind of shit, like someone trying to fuck with the family after he kills him, I don't want to talk about that guy. I don't like that. I don't like hearing about it. It's the whole idea behind it that this kid can get away with something like that. If we live in a world that makes sense, when someone does anything remotely fucked up like that, you beat them to death. You don't bother feeding them and housing them and taking care of them. You beat them to death. That's what you do. And you save money doing it. You do it with a fucking club. And you just smash his diseased brain. And then you move on. But we live in this pussified world where a cunt like that can say that in front of those people and not have the normal healthy reaction, which is just kill him. He's broken. That's a damaged human being that will never get better. And you have to kill them. You don't house them. You don't feed them. You don't put them in a fucking special room where they can't touch other people. You kill them. Because there's no reason for them to be around. There's nothing you're going to learn from them. All you're going to do is find out what made them fucked up. And you're not going to prevent that unless you got fucking cameras in everyone's bedroom from the time a kid's born to the time they finally escape their cunt parents and become a psychopath and go roaming through the streets killing people to try to fill some hole inside of them or whatever the fuck is wrong with them. But we don't do that. And that's what drives me the most crazy about watching those things. It's not just that people like that exist. It's that people like that only exist because we don't have community anymore. our system of government, our system of laws, when it's set up to deal with bad people, we, for whatever fucking reason, when someone's a horrible piece of shit like that, want to show that we're humane and show that we have, you know, we have morals and we have laws and we have a certain way. You shouldn't do that. You should beat that guy to death and let everybody know that you can't do that to people. You can't torture and kill people. You can't try to hurt the victim's family by saying something fucked up because you're a mess. Just get that thing dead. Get that thing dead and off the planet.
After
and let's
seeing
move
his picture,
on.
I gotta say I'm with you on that one.
You got to do with all of them, all pieces of shit. You gotta. There's got to be a real reason to not be a piece of shit. The problem is they're raised by horrible people, and then the other problem is who's to say whether or not a person's guilty? Who's to say whether or not a person really did do this? When you have a case like that, where not only did you do you know the guy did it, he's joking around about
he's
it,
bragging about it.
Yeah, that's a dead man. And if he's not a dead man, we live in a pussified society that's allowing people like that to exist. They should never let him get to that point. Somebody probably knew he was fucked up a long time ago. They should have got together, had a little conversation, and put his lights out.
You seen The Staircase?
No, what is that?
This documentary about this guy who killed basically... It's not definitive, but he basically killed his wife. You gotta see it. It's the best fucking documentary. It's like this... What, like, think eight-part, no one here has seen it. This eight-part documentary that was on Sundance, he claimed his wife fell down the stairs. I don't want to give it away, because you right. have to watch it. And it's like, you find out all this crazy shit, but he says his wife fell down the stairs. Turns out, actually, I'm not even going to say the next part.
Just say it. Go ahead.
Turns out he had another woman he knew years before who also accidentally fell down the stairs. This is a well-to-do, like a really wealthy man, a novelist. Who, like, you would never suspect. But they had cameras running the whole time. It's fucking... And they just aired a special...
They had cameras running when they interviewed him, you mean?
No, cameras running in his house the whole...
So
during the whole trial.
So they saw him...
The first thing... As soon as they found out about it, they went to his house. Can we document the whole process?
Whoa.
And they have the whole thing. It's The Staircase. You can get it on Amazon. It's awesome.
So
it's,
do you think he's innocent at first, and then towards the end you start thinking that he's guilty?
Yeah, but it's enough... He throws you, man. Because I have friends who've seen it and still like, you know, I think he's innocent. So there's enough up in the air that maybe, but there's too much coincidence for
two
me personally.
Two wives fall down the stairs?
Well, the first one wasn't a wife. It was a friend. It's one of his best friends. It's the whole thing. I mean, there's just...
It was a girl?
Yes.
Both girls?
Yes. And one was... One he adopted. Again, I'm giving away too much.
You could probably kill someone pretty easy by throwing them down a flight of stairs. I bet most people would die.
But of course, it looks like an accident.
You kicked them down a flight of stairs.
But you guess, why? Do you want to know the ending?
Sure.
He's off.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
They had just this documentary aired like probably 5 years ago.
So you believe he's guilty?
I do, is my belief. But and he was in jail until like a year ago, and they aired this special addendum to it that he got out.
Wow. Yeah, people get away with shit, man. There's some psychos out there. And there's also people that live with all horrible people and that you fucking just feed off each other's hate and you get to the point where you
But
just...
that's the thing that throws you about this documentary is his family seems like all great people.
Ugh.
It throws you, especially the kids.
What was the wife like, though?
I never saw. She was dead.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe the wife was a problem and he had to kick her down the flight of stairs.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe he had a good reason. I don't know.
There's no good reason to do that.
I'm
How
kidding.
Dare
I'm,
you?
Ben I'm Jake. Hoffman. I'm Jake Kahan.
These are just jokes, folks. We're just trying to find a way to talk about this. Yeah, there was a show. Do you remember HBO's Dr. Michael Baden, the autopsy shows?
No.
Remember those?
I saw that.
You ever see those, Brian?
Yeah, it was disgusting. I mean, I didn't watch full episodes, but I tried to watch them.
Well, he busted a lot of murderers. Because he would, you know, through forensic evidence, they'd find, like, one small thing.
When did this air?
Oh, man.
It was 7 years ago?
Years ago. Yeah,
I missed that.
Several years ago. A lot of really creepy shit on it. But one of them was this guy whose wives just kept dying. These fucking people, man. It's like, they get away with
my lucky day, yeah.
He got away with it once, and he figured, well, fuck it, man. I know how to do this. And
that probably whets your appetite.
I'm sure. And I bet they also feel like as long as they don't go to jail for it, no one's even going to look into it. Like, oh, look, they said it was an accident. She died. Oops. And then also the next one dies. And he goes, no, the other one was an accident, okay? I told you it was an accident. This one was an accident, too. Like, that's when people close in on you, son.
But these kind of documentaries, too, when you see – because you get thrown because you see the prosecution and the defense, and you hate them both lawyers. So then you're like, who the fuck is right? Because both of the lawyers are so fucking annoying.
Yeah.
It's like, which side do I hate them both, kind of, in a weird way.
It's got to be hard to be a person that operates in the legal system and tries to get bad people off. That's your job.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you got to go out and face the world knowing that, like, what if he got that kid with the t-shirt? What if he got that kid off?
Somebody has to be that kid's lawyer.
Right. Somebody got that kid off on a technicality? Ugh. You know, what if there was like some contamination of evidence or what have you, and that fucking kid got free?
At what point are you allowed to say, like, I just can't do this?
I want to know if that kid is on prescription medicine like all the other ones. I want to, yeah. And there's fucking girls supposedly that are tweeting that they're in love with him because they think he's cute.
Oh, boy.
That happens a lot, man.
Yeah.
That guy, Richard Ramirez, he got married in jail.
Well, people love that
fan.
Dude.
Yeah, he's the Night Stalker. He would stomp girls' heads in and crush their skulls. And he's got people that visit him in jail.
Mickey Mallory Knox.
Who's that?
The movie Natural Born Killers, where they were glorified as like superstars almost.
Well, to a lot of people that live in a world of shit, and that is a problem with our society, that lack of community that we talked about. That's a big problem, man, when people are allowed to grow up living in a world of shit, when there's not enough people to be around, to be friends, to love, to support people, when you're just on your own living in a world of shit and abuse, and you grow up to be a monster, you know? Mm-hmm. We are this disconnection that we have with our neighbors and disconnection we have with our coworkers and, you know, this lack of, like, real, deep, meaningful friendships that so many people have in this life. That's one of the big holes that people have over and over and over again. If you find, like, really angry people, you find out that they're loners. You find out that they're rejected. They don't have loved ones. They don't have good friends. It's rare.
I'm kind of a loner. Now I'm getting worried about myself.
I'm worried about you from the moment I met you. Son.
Exactly. But I do have some friends, so I'm not one of these crazy people.
You're not a loner. You know what I'm talking
about.
But
I like being alone.
The people that are just, like, keep themselves at work, don't have conversations with people. That's the guy who's going to come in with a gun and shoot everybody, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's something about humans where we desperately require each other, and we have to be aware of that. It's you can say, you know what, man, I like to be alone, people annoy me. No, you like to be alone sometimes. We all like to be alone sometimes. You do not want to be alone forever. You don't. You'll be horrified. You'll be terrified. You'll be miserable. You can live where people are around you all day, every day for the rest of your life. You can live fine. Maybe it'll be annoying sometimes. You know, maybe you'll be looking for some peace and quiet and you won't get it as much as you need it, but you'll be fine. If you live by yourself, you'll go fucking crazy. You'll commit suicide. You'll jump off a cliff. You'll
become friends with a volleyball.
Yeah, like Tom Cruise, right?
Tom Hanks.
Tom Cruise. Imagine if Tom Cruise was in that. It'd be a lot more screaming.
I'd go see it again.
And it'd be 20% more gay,
mm-hmm.
at least.
That volleyball would have been popped a long time ago.
Volleyball would have lipstick on it and holes in it.
Up his butthole, you mean?
No, why would you put lipstick on your butthole?
That might be a good idea.
What are they teaching you over at Comedy Central, son?
I don't know. They're teaching me crazy shit.
Teaching you crazy shit?
Yeah.
So... thank you to HBO for this hookup. It's the coolest thing I've ever gotten, ever, this Game of Thrones thing. And thank you for the t-shirt. It's pretty badass. That's how you promote things. The other way to promote things is come on this podcast, Ben Hoffman.
Oh, shit. What an
science.
What an intro.
That's a segue.
The Ben Show, Thursdays at 10 on Comedy Central. We got nothing like this.
How many have you done so far?
The third aired last week. So people are watching this live, right?
Some people are watching this live, some people are getting this on iTunes.
Watching it live, there's a special sneak peek tonight at 10:30 after Workaholics.
Shit.
But on iTunes, this is going to mean nothing to you.
They'll get it tomorrow morning, and it's on tomorrow.
But it's on Thursdays at 10 for everyone else, and we got five more episodes left, and I think they're funny, but... actually, I have mixed feelings. I'm not a big Ben Hoffman fan, but overall, I think it's pretty good.
How many have you aired so far?
We've aired three. And there's five more. And it's a, it's like a sketch comedy show mixed in with, like, Man on the Street. So you see me in my real life. Like, right. if we were shooting right now, I'd be shooting this. Oh, there's the clip.
So you would come in and do it?
We'd be shooting this if this was, yeah, if I was shooting the show right now.
So it blurs the lines.
This, yeah, this scripted. Is a fake audition. So can they watch this right here?
Sure.
A lot of tough talk. You're a gangster granny. You're pissed off. And let's do it.
These are real old ladies trying to audition for a part.
Are we ready?
With all a
right,
gun.
In action.
Listen up, everyone. Now get your hearing aids out of your pussies and assholes. Because the gang is coming for us. They're going to cover this place with their devil semen and burn it to the ground. And for what? For a fucking big money business company.
Well, we can all sit here in our own shitty diapers,
or we can exercise our Second Amendment rights and get some motherfucking guns.
Ah! Holy shit.
Wow, that was really good.
That was great. All right, action.
Boom, 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 boom. Respect the elderly, motherfucker.
Perfect.
I gotta turn my hearing aid off. Shit's about to get loud. Ah, you motherfuckers.
Time to move into a home.
A funeral home, cocksucker.
Yeah. That was great. Really great. And the last one is, I came here to do two things. Hand out hard candy and blow some motherfucking dicks off. And I'm all out of hard candy.
I came here for two things. To suck some hard candy and suck some dicks.
This episode is brought to you by Dr. Squatch. Look, it's important to take care of yourself, and it's equally important that you use the right products like Dr. Squatch. They have high-performing natural soaps and more with no harmful ingredients, so you can look and smell your best. Try their Pine Tar Bar Soap and Lotion, Bay Rum Deodorant, or Woodland Pine Cologne. Most of their scents are available across multiple products, so if you really like it, you can get a whole lineup. And right now, they have an amazing offer for new customers. Get 20% off your first purchase of any amount or a subscription order by going to drsquatch.com/JRE or use the code JRE at checkout.
What was the line? I came here to do two things, and what are they?
Hand out hard candy.
Oh, hand out hard candy.
And blow some fucking dicks off.
And blow some motherfucking dicks off, cocksucker.
All right, you got the part.
Great.
Perfect.
Yeah, so we put out.
That's fair.
We put out this casting call over LA that we're looking for this new. We're doing a new movie. We didn't tell them it was a Comedy Central show. We said this new movie called Gangsta Granny about a tough talking grandma, and we need old ladies to come in and audition. And we gave them sides like, you know, I don't know if they're gonna read this. And every fucking, you know, people want to work.
Yeah,
they all read this fucking thing, and then so we felt bad. So then we shot a scene from the movie.
Well, you got to realize that the grandmas of today, if you're dealing with a 67-year-old lady of today, that lady was like rocking it in the 70s.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're not the grandmas of when we were children who were like in the 50s. These are 70s grannies. So they partied their dicks off already. Well,
they were having a blast.
Yeah, I'm
that
sure.
Was, that was the weird thing.
You know, every audition you see like that exposes just how fucking easy acting really is.
Oh, dude, we did four different fake audition things throughout the series. And because listen, I've been a million of those auditions, and I as bad as they were and as funny as it was, they were no better or worse than me. Like, they would have beaten me in any role. I mean, I just got lucky and got the, you know.
There's a lot of people out there that are auditioning for parts that could do it easily. Like, that's why I love when someone like Justin Timberlake becomes a big actor, because he's not an actor. He's a fucking singer. I love when, like, an athlete does it and becomes a really good actor, because it shows you it is not hard. It is one of the easiest things to do ever. You remember the words, and then you pretend. And it's not that hard to do. And some people do it better than famous people. And they easily could be famous.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to put a lot of real stuff in the show, because I'm just like, aren't real people just as funny as fucking actors?
Most of them are.
Actors?
Yeah, there's a lot of funny fucking people out there. They just have never figured out how to make a living off of it.
Totally. Like, growing up, like, didn't – I always tell my friends, like, were you the funniest kid growing up?
No.
Exactly. Like, I hung out with a lot of funny kids, but all my friends were funny. I just, for some reason, yeah, decided to get into it.
I wasn't even close.
Yeah, but there were so many funny kids who were just like, they wanted to be a doctor or work at a bank or, you know, whatever it was.
The funniest person I ever met in my life was a private investigator.
Really?
Yeah, it still is. His name's Dave Dolan. Dynamite Dickless Dave Dolan. I worked for him when
he lost his dick?
He used to call himself. He's crazy. Dynamite Dickless Dave Dolan.
He already sounds funny.
He's crazy. And sober, too, by the way. When I met him, he had just lost his license from drinking and driving. Crashed his car out of a tunnel and tried to run on foot from the cops.
Holy
it's
shit.
Crazy. And he was a private investigator, so he needed someone to drive him around because he lost his license.
Is that not a sitcom right there?
Yeah.
Private investigator who can't drive?
And yeah, so I responded to the job, you know, it was like some, you know, newspaper or something like that. I called him up, asked him what it was all about, what the hell we're supposed to be doing. And I started working for him. So I worked for him for whatever it was, 90 days or something like that, until his license was brought back. It might have been 6 months. But then he got his license back and didn't need me anymore. And by then I was sort of starting to get gigs.
But you still hang out with him?
Yeah, I'm still friends with him. I go back and, you know, talk to him whenever I'm in Boston. Got him tickets to the UFC. He's a great guy.
That's awesome.
He's an awesome dude, but he's fucking hilarious. He was always hilarious. We would go on these things, and most of what the insurance or most of what private investigation business is insurance cases. It's people that they're getting workman's compensation, and they're lying and working on the side, and you catch them working. That's, you know, or they're suing, and they say, oh, my back is horribly injured, and you catch them doing something like carrying something heavy, and so we...
that's a lot of money they're saving if they bust them.
Yeah, well, a lot of people, they'll claim to be injured if they're on the job. You know, they have some sort of a job. And so we would have to sit in front of people's houses. We would get there at like 4 o'clock in the morning when it was dark out, park the car, and sit and wait for this guy to go to work. Because we had to follow the guy to go to work. So we'd be in this car, bored out of our heads, and we'd just start talking shit. And then it would, you know, it'd be like, yeah, I knew this one girl, and she was so fucking crazy. And then he would tell some story about a girl he dated, and we would just start howling. And I remember thinking, like, crying in this car. He and I just sitting there at 5 o'clock in the morning.
You decided you wanted to get into comedy.
I was already doing it at the time. Yeah. That was one of the reasons why I needed another job, is because when I was working for him is when I stopped teaching martial arts, and I stopped competing as well. I got to this point where I was like, you know what, I got to pick one thing or the other, and yeah. This comedy is what I really want to do, and I don't. Fighting is just going to give me brain damage. Like, I got to get away from that, and I got to really focus my energies on this. I need some sort of a job, so I quit teaching. I was teaching at a school, and I was teaching at Boston University, and so I quit all that and then got this private investigation job.
That's crazy. So, what was the craziest thing you saw on the job?
Nothing crazy, really. It wasn't that crazy at all. We never really were in danger. We never really...
You never saw a guy working and you had to, like, confront him or anything?
You never would confront them. You know, you would just take a picture of them or you would confirm that it's them or... You know, it was kind of sad. Like, one time we got this one lady. Have I ever told the story on the podcast before about... We had this lady, and one of the ways he would get information was he would find someone's address, and, you know, like, he would know who they were. He would know, like, from the insurance company, one of them was a woman who was injured on the job working for Delta, and there was a reason to suspect that she was still working while she was collecting workman's compensation. Yeah. So we got her address and her license plate number, and then he wrote on a piece of paper her license plate number, followed by a bunch of license plate numbers that were similar to it, close to it. And then he knocks on the door. He said, oh, yeah, I'm hoping you can help me out. My girlfriend was in a car accident, and the cops, they wrote down the license plate number for the witness, but someone spilled some coffee on it, so it's either one of these four numbers. And we checked these two, and I'm hoping it's you. And he would describe an injury that was the exact same injury as the one this woman had.
Oh.
Like, you know, she herniated her disc and this and that. Oh, I just recently had that. You're kidding. Wow. So the woman goes, would you guys like to come in and have some coffee? Okay, we're fucking men, okay? Two men. And, you know, and I would have never trusted me at 21 years old. I looked like a fucking psychopath. And he was a nut. You know, he was this crazy nut who was wanting to crash his car in a fucking tunnel and then run on foot. And this nice lady just invites us into her home. So we're sitting in her kitchen. Would you like some coffee? Sure, ma'am. Thank you very much. I really hope you can help me here, you know, because, you know, Katie or whatever the girl's name was that he made up, you know, she's, she's such a good person, and you know, this whole thing is just such a tragedy. And she's, well, you know what, honey, I've been through that exact same injury, and I think she's going to be okay. What happened to you? Oh, I fell on the job. You know, oh, you're getting paid, right? Oh, yes, yes. Not only am I getting paid, but I started working for another airline under my maiden name. So she gives up the ghost, right? And I'm just sitting there shaking my head. And so we leave. We get in the car, and I go, you can't turn that lady in. She's too nice. He goes, fuck her. He goes, fuck her. She goes. That's what he kept saying. I go, really? He goes, fuck her. She goes. She's a fucking crook. He goes, that nice lady is costing that company money because she's lying to them about being hurt.
I'm with him. Wow. That's a shitty thing to do, man.
Yeah, fuck that job.
She's such a nice lady. I still to this day
feel
bad about
that. That's a clever way of doing it.
Oh, he was a wizard. Yeah. He was so good at that. He was so good. And it would be different things for different people. Like if it was a younger woman, I would talk to her and, you know, he would say make it like, you know, you're interested in her and then get some information out of her. Like we would find out things about like people that work there. Do you know Mike? Are you Mike's friend? And like, do I know you? I'm Joe. I'm Mike's friend. I know you. You're Mike's friend, right? I never saw you with Mike. Where do I know? I know you from somewhere. Is Mike okay? Yeah. Mike's okay. Yeah. Did he get compensated for that? Yeah. Oh, they're taking care of him. Oh, that's good. That's good. But I heard he was working for his brother. So he goes, I think that's under the table. Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, fuck. Tell him I said hi. Tell him Joe says hi. And then the next thing you know about Mike working under the table.
That sounds like a fun – I know it probably wasn't at the time because no jobs are fun, but that sounds like a fun job.
It was not the worst job. It was fun because, look, any job could be awesome if you work with awesome people. You know, I mean, I remember I had a job at Newport Creamery when I was in high school. It's like an ice cream place that flipped hamburgers.
Yeah.
But the boss was a fucking funny guy. He was a cool guy. Like, and when I knew he was working, like the certain manager, I'd be psyched to go to work. Because it was going to be fun. You're going to be around fun people.
I always had the shit. I don't think I've ever had a fun job, ever.
I've had quite a few. I've been real lucky. But this was a really fun one. It wasn't it had to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning because you have to catch people
but
before
if you're sitting
leave.
In a car with a funny guy, it'd be fine. So I just think time. Being a private investigator would be like the most fun job.
It's scary, though. I mean, he's been attacked before. You know, I think he got attacked in a case. I don't remember the story. I think it was a wife thing. Oh, that was one really fucked up one. There was this one guy. We went to investigate his girlfriend or his wife. He had a feeling that his girlfriend was cheating on him. So he hires Dave. And Dave goes and gets pictures of the girlfriend with this fucking dud. This guy's just a gorilla. Just some super athlete. I don't know what the fuck the guy did. 6'3", 240 pounds, solid muscle. Looks like he lives in the gym, okay? And he's making out with the girl, squeezing her, picking her up. She's wrapping her legs around him. Gets all these pictures, brings them back to the guy. And the guy starts crying. He starts crying. And he's like
cheaters.
Yeah. And he goes, okay, keep following him. And he was like, what? He goes, I just want to know that this has happened more than once. It isn't just a one-time thing. So then he gets pictures of this guy just gorilla fucking this chick.
Oh, my God.
And he goes, I want you to keep following. He goes, listen, you sick fuck. He goes, I'm not going to keep following him. And he goes, you got to do what you got to do. But this is, I'm done here, you crazy asshole.
See, again. You're not. That sounds like a fun job.
I don't know. I wasn't a part of that one. I wasn't a part of that. That was like while I was working for him. I was, you know, I was in transition, and then like it was like
well, watching people fuck. I do that for free on the internet.
But this was a crazy one. You know, he could have gotten, you know, somebody catches.
So I figured that would be a more popular one than the insurance claims. But I guess the it's people cheat.
No. I believe that one came because he was. Referred to them by one of the companies that he had been successful with. And so a guy either that worked for the company or owned the company was the guy who was – it was a rich guy who he was using. And this woman, he had taken care of her. He had put her up in this beautiful place. And the guy was like super, super wealthy. But he couldn't stop the giant alpha dick from getting in there.
He just got fucked.
He wanted us to – well, he wanted Dave – It was right when I started working for him. Like I maybe hadn't actually started working for him, but it was like when we started hanging out together, it had just happened, and he had given me the.
I wonder if that's a weird fetish that he wanted the guy to keep filming it.
The guy definitely had he had a kink going on. There was a little something. He wanted Dave to keep taking pictures of him. And Dave's like, hey, fuck you. You know, this is over. This job is over. I'm not giving you jerk off material. You know, he just pictured this guy with a finger up his ass, just screaming as he comes, looking at those photos. You know?
Again, you're just pitching movies here.
It's a pretty solid script. I'm thinking of adding werewolves.
Who plays the guy who fingers his ass?
Who's the guy that played Pig Vomit in the Howard Stern movie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I sat next to him on a plane recently.
He's awesome. What's his name?
He's the best.
The guy from Sideways?
Yeah.
Come on,
no,
internet.
No, I know it. I know it. It's God on the tip of my tongue.
I'll pull up Sideways.
God, I just sat on a fucking plane with the guy.
But he would be a good guy for screaming as he was coming.
I don't want to talk bad about him.
What's wrong with that? It's not bad about him at all. Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti. I don't know how I blanked on that.
Yeah, he's so great. He's fucking amazing. That guy is – he's like my favorite pissed off guy ever.
He's the best. And I was sitting on a plane with him. I didn't really talk to him. But a friend of mine who knows him, I emailed afterwards. I was like, hey, you know, I sat next to your friend on a flight home. And she's like – emails back. She's like – she said that you were a very nice gentleman. So I bragged to all my friends, and they told me that was the lamest thing to brag about that they'd ever heard. That I was just a polite guy. Like, I'm not supposed to be an asshole. Because, like, dude, Paul Giamatti thinks I'm a real nice gentleman.
That's a good thing. Well, he's, you know, that's probably one of the things that he says. He was a nice gentleman.
But basically what he's saying is he didn't remember me.
Oh, I don't think you're probably nice to him.
And I was listening to Stern in my headphones.
That's hilarious. And what are the odds?
Yeah, so I go, you know, I didn't want to say anything, but, you know, you're great in that Stern movie. He's like, oh, thank you. He's like, it was a click in his ear to like, all right, gotta stop talking to this guy. This guy knows who I am.
Let me
ignore. But he was very nice.
Well, I'm sure it gets annoying every now and then when people associate with you with a character that you played too.
Called Pig Vomit.
Yeah, a super asshole boss. You were the best asshole ever.
Yeah,
such
exactly.
An awesome asshole.
And he was so fucking great. And he was good at being that pissed and sideways too.
Yeah, this whole train of thought came from the question of whether or not you were funny in high school, whether you were the funny guy. That's where we got to my friend Dave and all
that
shit.
Yeah, but I was saying that too, like, because that seems to be the question. Everyone thinks if you're a comedian, like, you can listen to me right now and know that I'm not that funny. But you could but you could also, like, I think if you asked my friends back home, you'd be like, oh, yeah, Ben was funny. But they wouldn't go like, dude, he was the funniest fuck. I'm from Kentucky.
Right.
I'm wearing the UK hat to promote the fact that they lost in the opening round of the NIT yesterday and are completely out of March Madness. But
by the way, I don't even know what the fuck any of what you just said means.
You don't know you watch college basketball?
That? Well, I don't there's even people know the rules.
There's people listening right now who are talking shit about me, so I decided to show some pride.
They were?
No, they'll be talking shit when they hear this.
Well, how rude of them.
Yeah, those fuckers. I was going to ask before too not to talk about me, but you're going to Nashville. How do you go there much?
No, I haven't been there in a while.
That's where my mom's from. I go there all the time. I love it there.
I love it there. But I've just put out a new special about a couple months ago, September or something like that.
$5, right?
Yeah, $5 on JoeRogan.net. It's called Live from the Tabernacle. And I basically have put together the next hour already, but I have a bunch of new shit that I want to work out. And so the best way for me to do that is to do a club that I don't go to very often.
Oh, cool.
And I haven't been to this place in like more than a year. Like, I think it's like 2 years since the last time I've been. And this club, Zany's in Nashville. Have you ever been there?
I've never been to the – I go to my grandma's house and shit when I'm there. You know, so I don't really get it.
Zany's is a fucking awesome comedy club. It's like really tight seating. There's a balcony, but it's low. Like, it's like they're right on top of you. It's an amazing club. And Nashville's like – it's a rare town, man, because it's really smart. It's a weird combination of Southern and smart and hip and a lot of musicians and artists. And Nashville is badass. Ralphie May lives there now, doesn't he? Like, he splits time. I think he goes back.
There's a lot of rock stars living there now. Did you know that?
Yeah. Well, like, Honey just moved there, too.
And Black Keys moved there and all those people.
Yeah. Well, it's a great creative environment for that. And I don't know. I mean, I guess for comedy, too. All you need for comedy is like one club that's good. And they have that. They got Zany's, which has been there for 30 years, you know?
I think they're just all addicted to whiskey. They just have to be near Jack Daniels or something.
You can get that shit everywhere, son. That's not difficult to get. You wouldn't have to move close to get Jack
Anybody
Daniels.
Anybody here like old country?
Yeah, love old country. Merle Haggard.
Have you
Johnny
been to
Cash.
The Country Music Hall of Fame there?
No.
I'd never been, but I was there one time. Usually I stay with family, but it was a family member's wedding, so there was no place for me to stay. So I had to stay at a hotel, and I had the day off. So I went to the Country Music Hall of Fame next door. It was fucking awesome.
Was it really?
It was. I thought it was going to be stupid, you know, Garth Brooks shit and all that. It was like old school Hank Williams. Like a lot of the old, it was really cool. If you got time, I would go to it.
Garth Brooks is slowly becoming some classics, though. Like, you know how you have classic rock? I Got Friends in Low Places could be a classic
it is
country
that,
song.
Well, it's weird you say that because I was at the Capitol Records building a while ago just because I had a friend who worked there. And they have these plaques on the wall of like every album that has sold 10 million copies, right? Which is not that many. So you go to the Capitol Records. There were like four Beatles records, Dark Side of the Moon, and just a wall of Garth Brooks. Like, you don't realize how many fucking albums this guy sold. He had, like, six albums that sold 10 million. Like, you wonder why you don't hear from him anymore? Because he's got more fucking money than any musician.
I think he's doing Vegas now. I think he started doing concerts in Vegas.
Like, but just with an acoustic guitar, I think.
Really?
Like, it's just him with a guitar, yeah.
Listen, he's a weird fuck, but he's undeniably talented.
You can't sell that many records and not have something going on.
I Got Friends in Low Places is a great fucking song. If you got a buzz on and that song comes on and you don't get happy, you're a cunt.
Well, if you're that's a little harsh, but I agree. But no, where I'm from, if you're drinking and somebody doesn't put that on the jukebox, like something's wrong.
In low
cannot take that song.
Of course you can't. You're from Ohio. You've probably heard it every day of your life.
Exactly.
Where in Ohio?
Your alarm Columbus. Clock every day. Right. You remember when he did that weird thing Garth Brooks did, where James he put name. On a wig and pretend to be a different dude?
He was Chris Gaines? Was that it?
Yeah, something like that.
God, that was the weirdest thing ever.
What the fuck was that about?
When I see those plaques on the wall at Capitol Records, I'm like, no wonder he did that. He was just like...
Yeah, look at that. Come on, man. Who let you do that, Garth Brooks? And he grew a little...
A little flavor saver
under the lower lip, and he went total emo, weirdo, brooding.
That looks like he was in an argument with his label. He's like, look, you fuckers, I could sell albums doing anything the fuck I want.
Yeah.
Change my name, put a goatee, and then...
That's what he thought.
Yeah,
he really did believe that.
I think that was... Was that his last album?
Boy, that's a shitty way to go out if that's his last album.
But that was like the...
Look at those pictures of him all with the hair just perfectly... That's fine if we don't know it's a fucking wig, man. You can't just wear a wig, okay? That's ridiculous.
That looks... But remember for a while in SNL, that was like the go-to joke?
What?
That was on
Chris Gaines?
Weekend Update. Was like every joke was like a Chris Gaines joke.
Look how fucking silly he is. Yeah. The idea that he thought that he could pretend to be someone different, a different personality. I'm not the happy country guy anymore, even though it's the same guy inside my heart. When I'm Chris Gaines, I'm moody as fuck. Okay, I'm all dressed in black. I'm a flavor saver. I even dyed that. And my hair, it's all thick and heavy, even though you know I'm going bald. Think about that. Don't think about the wig, man. Think about the persona. I'm trying to sell a persona. I got this down. It's goddamn character. You're going to love my new CD. It's Chris Gaines is moody as fuck. That's what it's called.
I want you to concentrate. I want you to concentrate on the shitty music this time.
There's
not
two
on my
me.
Shitty look.
Two of me, but one heart.
Who am I? Who am you? Who do we become when we're together?
Who wrote these shitty songs? Chris Gaines or Garth Brooks? We don't know.
Yeah, he became like one of those Stephen King characters where fucking his eyes glaze over when he starts writing and he starts going to glossolalia and writing a bunch of shit down like the dark half. Remember, he had a tumor or something like that?
Yeah, I wonder if he's one of those guys like, you know, Michael Jackson, like someone who goes super crazy when they get super famous. I wonder if he did that but just did it out of the spotlight because he was as famous as those guys in his heyday and you never heard of a freak out from him.
Oh,
although maybe that album's kind of this
version. Didn't he like, he left his wife for a while and got some new hottie or something like that.
Yeah,
and
another
went back to his
singer.
Wife or something. But that shit's normal. That's impossible to avoid when you got the kind of Garth Brooks pussy going your way.
What are
you
gonna do?
Kind of pussy they're throwing at him pre-internet, son? Oh my goodness. It was just tsunamis of pussy. And country pussy is hard to avoid, man. Sweet girls with like Georgia accents.
Yeah.
Son, don't lie to me, Ben Hoffman. If
Listen,
it was coming your way, country pussy.
Oh, if it was
pussy,
coming my way, yeah.
Solid D, natural tits that defy gravity.
Listen,
what am I saying, son?
I grew up in Kentucky. And with that all around me, none of it offered to me. Not once.
How about now? How about you got a little TV show? You got a little something coming your way?
It's not helping as much as I was hoping it would.
You don't have a regular gal?
No.
Ben Hoffman, that's ridiculous. Hey, you're a handsome fellow. You're quick with your wit.
Hey, ladies, if you're on Ustream and you're not too busy, I got to live tweet my show tonight, so I'm busy till like 8. But after that, we'll meet up.
And we'll Olive Garden.
Yeah.
Have a few beverages.
Drinks on me.
Whoa, drinks on him.
Yeah.
How do you
I got my own show. I got money for drinks.
Yeah, and you can find him on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
At the Ben Show, which is a mistake, by the way.
Why is that?
Just because I realize now I shouldn't have my Twitter name be the name of the show.
Why is that?
Because
if the show
people
gets
say,
canceled?
Well, no, I don't care about that. Which,
why would you not care about that?
Because I think the Ben Show is a cool
lying.
Twitter.
You want that.
That'd be cool, yeah.
No,
I do.
I don't want the show.
No, I'm just saying people say follow or say watch at the Ben Show.
Right.
And what they're saying is watch Ben Hoffman. You know
right.
what I'm saying? So it gets confusing. Watch at the Ben Show on the Ben Show.
Ooh, yeah.
That's okay. I never thought
well,
about
you could
that.
Change it. I know people have changed it before.
Yeah, but
I changed mine, actually.
There's some loser who has Ben Hoffman, and he's got 30,000 followers, and he follows 50,000 people.
How does he have 30,000 followers?
Because I'm sure he followed all those bots who followed him back or something. I tried to get his name from him, but
he won't give
fine.
It to you? Twitter will give it to you. Do you know that? Twitter will just steal it from that guy. Yeah, they do that for celebrities.
We got to see if we get a season 2 before we start stealing Twitter
just
names.
Just steal it.
I think I need some more power before
you
I
don't need
there.
A season 2. What you need is Ben Hoffman's name. You got you. That's your name, right?
Yeah.
You're Ben Hoffman.
Yeah.
Fuck this guy. Is this guy really Ben Hoffman?
Is it bad that an hour in he asked my name?
Huh?
No, I'm kidding.
Is this guy really Ben Hoffman? Is that his real name?
He claims he's Ben Hoffman.
Got to find out.
When we take care of this, I'll have my people get on it right now.
Have your people move in on him.
Yeah, because
you're
right.
At the very least, make him uncomfortable with a few emails.
Yeah, I did that once. Someone had benhoffman.com, and I threatened to sue him.
Ooh.
And he's like, bring it on, and I didn't have lawyers. Because I just like.
Is his name Ben Hoffman?
Yeah.
Oh, then you can't sue him.
I know, I threatened to.
Isn't that funny? Like, you would think, though, because you're famous, your Ben Hoffman name is worth more than his
Ben Hoffman. Well, I checked the ratings. I'm not sure how famous I am.
And how long ago was this?
How famous I am?
How long ago was this that the guy had benhoffman.com?
Oh, before I had a show.
So you weren't famous at all.
I was nothing.
How
but
dare
I threat-
you're just trolling people.
But that was back when I didn't have a show. I pretended to be famous. So I would email him like, listen, I'm a big celebrity and you can't have my website.
Did you really say that?
Yeah, I'm like, I was on another show at the time. So I was like, listen, I'm on TV, blah, blah. And they're like, we don't give a fuck. I don't care who you are.
Wow.
I'm like, and
did you think you actually had like a... Like, you could do something?
No, I knew I was talking shit.
Oh, okay.
I was just hoping that he would get scared and be like, oh, shit, it's yours. And he was like, I had half a brain and was like,
damn it.
Leave me alone.
Half a brain. Shit.
Those fucking half brain. I mean, he had the brain I have, which is, you know.
Yeah, there's a guy that's on JoeRogan.com, and apparently I did not ask for this, and please stop doing it, but people send him horrible things, and including, like, someone wrote some whole thing about him. He's a real estate agent.
Wait a second. He has JoeRogan.com?
His name's Joe Rogan.
He has JoeRogan.com.
It's his name.
And you're JoeRogan.net.
Yes.
All right.
It's his name.
Yeah.
He wanted to sell it to me, but he wanted just some fucking ridiculous amount of money. Right?
How much?
It was more than $80,000 or something like that.
Fuck off. Yeah.
Something crazy. It was like, what? It's not hard to find me.
You know, Madonna won that lawsuit,
can't find
though.
Me through Google. But that, no, it's his name. His name is Joe Rogan. But people sent him, they wrote something up about, don't do that, Brian. Take that off. Take that off. Come on. I don't want to pick on the guy. It's just his name. You know, the guy is a real estate guy, but people send him rude shit. Whoever sent him rude shit, please stop. He's not a bad guy. He just doesn't want to give up his thing. So he said he would give it up for a shitload of money, and he doesn't have to give it up at all. Why should he do it for less than that? He doesn't want to. It's his business, you know? I don't have a problem with it.
I'm with you, but saying that large amount is, to me, annoying. But I guess,
no, but it makes
I guess
sense.
What he's saying is I don't want to give it up.
Yeah, he doesn't want to give it up. So all he says, all right, I'll give it up, but I want like a year's salary. That's like, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
I guess that makes sense because he's like, this is how I make my money.
Yeah.
It's my business. If you're going to pay for my business, I'll give you the name.
And as far as like website domains go, like there's been website domain names like business.com. Wasn't that sold for like millions of dollars?
Oh, there was a bunch of people right when the internet started who made millions. Like before that was became, because that's illegal now.
Yeah. How did you not do that, Brian? That seems like something you would have jumped on, a bunch of cool domain names and sell them.
I have like 30 domain names. I just don't sell them.
Yeah, but I mean like a really cool one that's valuable.
I have a bunch. I have
Coca-Cola.com.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you like put them out for sale? Like if you have a bunch.
Because
like, really
I think it's something that it's fun to collect, kind of like old comic books, but I'm not really
trying. Do you have
to
any that you think could make some serious cash?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, one of the funniest things that Brian ever did was a thing called Pepsi Spice. Do you remember Pepsi Spice?
No.
Pepsi Spice was some fucking bizarre idea that someone at Pepsi came out with. with, where it's like, it was like a holiday Pepsi. Yeah, it was like...
Just the name sounds gross.
It was gross. It was gross. So anyway, Brian buys PepsiSpice.com and puts
Smart
up this
thinking.
Daily blog of him slowly dying of horrible disease.
because he drank only Pepsi Spice for 30 days.
Only Pepsi Spice for 30 days. It was one of my favorite like things that
like,
he's ever
like
done.
Like it was like Supersize Me, but with Pepsi Spice.
With Pepsi yeah. Spice. And
but
whatever.
This was probably before Supersize
no,
Me.
No, this was right during Supersize Me.
Was it?
Because I actually got it based off that.
Oh, you got the idea from that. Okay.
Yeah. Because I was like, all right, I might do something
right.
When
was that? What year was Supersize Me?
I think it was... Well, this is... That
Pepsi
came
Spice
out,
was like 2002, right?
Yeah, it was 2004.
2004.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, there was, it was on like all the websites. I got interviewed in for radio stations. Cause, and then it got to the point at the very end where the girl I was living with, which was Lindsay Lohan at the time, she was saying that it was really
Dude,
sick and dying.
It was not Lindsay Lohan.
No, no, that's what I said in the blog.
Oh, I was about I had about 50 questions
you
ready
didn't
to
just
go.
Clarify that. Yeah. People, Lindsay's people See, are on the phone right now.
Lindsay yeah. says hi. Lindsay is over and she is helping me drink my 10th 2-liter. She ended up coming to LA for the day. Sprite over some Mocaine, which was when I used to say that I used to break up mushrooms and mix it with cocaine and snort it, and I used to call it Mocaine. Me and Lindsay would sit around and do Mocaine all the time.
This was in the Pepsi Spice blog?
Yeah, and then I ended up just dying. I started getting like clogged armpits because there was so much Pepsi Spice that my armpits started getting this huge rash and they were getting clogged. And then Bow Wow was helping me out with money or something like that. I can't remember. But
It was really funny, yeah. though.
Here's why I like that so much, too. Why is that any different than Supersize Me? Really? Because why would you think eating nothing but McDonald's is any more or less healthy
right.
than Pepsi Spice? It's almost mocking that movie.
You know, a lot of people have disputed that Supersize Me guy's claims.
I know.
It's kind of interesting. I want to, you know, I would have thought that there's no way, like, he wouldn't be bullshitting, like, that the results wouldn't be that bad. I mean, it seems, or would definitely be that bad. But then I watched his show. Remember he had that show 30 Days?
Yeah, yeah. It was
I saw some fuckery in that show.
No, I felt bullshit when I was watching the documentary. Like, when he threw up very early in the film, I don't know if you remember. You were studying it to build your...
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't that seem fake?
Yeah, I never really thought of any of the show being fake because I actually watched all of his shows, like the 30 Days shows, and I actually enjoy all of them. I never really look at him like, oh, this is fake.
Well, no, I know one of them is fake, and this is how I know it. He did one on hormone replacement therapy, mm-hmm. and he used... he tried to use a doctor that I know, and the doctor said, there's no way I would ever do that. He goes, you're asking for something completely unethical. He goes, if a guy wants to get on hormone replacement therapy, first of all, why would he want to do that in his 30s? The guy's like 33 years old in this television show. And he goes, and second of all, you don't do it in 30 days. He goes, he wouldn't even start it for months. Like, before you do anything, like where you give the guy hormones, you got to figure out a way how to optimize his own body's production of hormones. That's the only way to do it.
Yeah, but I'm sure there's doctors that would do it.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, Hollywood doctors. I know a Hollywood doctor that does.
You're not listening to me. No. But the reason why it's bullshit is because the only types of doctors that were willing to do what he was asking them to do were completely unethical. So they made these conclusions on the show about what replacing your hormones are all about, completely based on unethical doctors willing to fit within their production schedule. That's an unethical show. That's a show that's bullshit.
That's bullshit because exactly what you're saying. The doctor.
Right.
Who did it is spewing lies to be on TV to get more business.
And you're spewing lies in order to produce a show within the parameters of your 30-day time limit. It's stupid. I watched it. I was going, no doctor would just give you testosterone. They don't look at your test levels and say, oh, your levels are low. You're 35 years old. What's going on? Do you sleep? They would start looking at you. You're fat. First of all, you got to get all this shit out of your body. Okay, what are you eating? Okay, stop eating that. Start eating
totally,
this. You need
yeah.
to eat spinach. You drink water.
They don't
water.
Just give you testosterone.
No, they would be crazy to do that. You're going to break the guy's system. You would never do that. And so in the show, the guy gets angry and starts fucking throwing. Well, somebody just shot him up with testosterone. Like, he doesn't know what the fuck is going on. He doesn't know how to balance that in his body. And he doesn't even need
it. I remember watching that. I mean, I don't know if he could be a good guy. I mean, nice guy, or, you know, whatever with music. I just remember watching the movie, like, So McDonald's is bad for you? That's the takeaway from this film? I mean, that's why I like the Pepsi Spice thing. It's like, no shit. If you just live on McDonald's, you live on Pepsi Spice, you're going
to
fucking...
Exactly. It's not supposed to be something you live on every day.
I don't think the president of McDonald's would say eat it every meal every day for 30 days.
Yeah, but the idea that his whole... that he was like ready to die because of it. Man, I'm not buying that.
No, well, I was... A friend of mine was like... I was going to go see the movie, and he's like, "That's bullshit." I was like, "Well, how do you know?" He's like, "Because I lived in this apartment once, and my dad had a job out nowhere, and I didn't have a car, so I had to live right by McDonald's, and I ate McDonald's every meal every day for like 60 days, and I'm here to talk about it." So what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, actually, there actually is quite a bit of criticism of that online.
Of that movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, Super Size Me is not the scathing and factual indictment of the fast food industry that Morgan Spurlock wants it to be. Yeah, there's quite a few people that looked at this and said that this doesn't line up.
Sponsored by McDonald's.
Yeah, look, it's interesting. You know, it's always interesting when you find out how little nutrition is in.
Let's look at the positives. If it gets the word out that fat, you shouldn't eat a lot of fast food. That's a good thing. Yeah. But you don't want to do it through bullshit.
We have a real sickness in this society where we need fast food. You know, when you're in your car, fuck, let me just pull in and grab a burger real quick. Like, I mean, it's nice that you can do that, but man, we need to figure out a way to fucking relax a little. You know, the older I get, especially when I'm running around, I need to get a coffee, I got to be here on time. Do I really need to be there on time? Do I really need to get a cup of coffee? What I really need to do is not be as fucking busy. Like, this craziness of being stuck in traffic and not being able to get home for 2 hours, so you pull into In-N-Out Burger. What we all really need to do is figure out a way to never be in fucking traffic for 2 hours every day of the week, because that's craziness, and that's a big part of everybody's reality. And if that's your reality, then it's also possible that your reality is cheeseburgers, to grab a quick meal, coffee in the morning because you're fucking sleepy, and you got to throw down a 20-ounce coffee on the way to work just to wake the fuck up.
That damn espresso machine I was telling you about that my parents got me, that's ruining my life. Yeah.
My wife got me one for Christmas a couple years ago. I use it more than anything anybody's ever bought me ever, except this Game of Thrones box.
You're lucky. It's badass.
That's really cool.
Sorry.
Did your Ben Show box show up yet?
Not yet.
It'll be there soon.
What's in it?
Not season two.
It's all the cum they scraped off from that show, Girls. They put it in a mayonnaise jar. Imagine if you saved all your cum. Has anyone ever done that from the time they were like a young man till today? Like, no, it's mine. Just have a jug by the bed and you jack off into it.
It's weird you ask, because I've done that. Isn't that weird that I'm here?
Yeah. I've done it for a couple weeks growing up as a kid. Yeah, where you would like have like a Mountain Dew can that when you're a kid you just like throw it in.
By the way, are you not joking now?
No, I'm not joking. Like when I was younger.
When I was younger, like 38.
No, 16. Something like that. Like I remember.
And you're fine with this on iTunes and Ustream and stuff?
As long as it doesn't get on Stitcher.
And another thing is that what was even grosser is that I even have a bit about how I used to fuck pillows. And I would fuck my pillows all the time. And then my mom would have to take my pillowcases off, and I just remember looking at my pillowcases like, man, that looks so gross. It's just like
covered
yellow and it's gotten hard.
Yeah, my housekeeper found one of my old t-shirts once. That wasn't a fun conversation.
What
did
she say to you?
Mr. Ben.
Yeah, she's like, why do you
come so hard?
why is it so small? No, she just cleaned it. She was like, here's your shirt. I was like, I don't want to wear that shirt. That shirt's dead to me.
That's it? You're scared?
Yeah.
You're scared of the loads?
Yeah, that's not a shirt you wear to high school. I always thought that'd be a funny thing if, like, you're in a hurry in the morning and you just grabbed a shirt real fast and you get to school and you realize it's your
comrade.
You have to wear
it
all day.
Listen, why are we playing games?
How is that
pretending
not
you don't jerk off? We're pretending he doesn't jerk off? We all jerk off. You might as well go to school with a fucking load-stained shirt. Who cares?
I think I might have one on right now.
What if that's the new cool thing?
I'm going to come on this House Rogan shirt and bring it back tomorrow. I don't give a fuck.
Dude, and then we should wear each other's shirts.
What? Each other's cum shirts? Fuck you, man. You just creep me out. You're wearing a Higher Primate shirt, by the way. Yes. Those have been restocked.
This one?
Higher Primate, all of them have been restocked. Yeah, it's a dope one.
That's a cool shirt. Yep.
Yeah, I got a t-shirt company. It's mostly monkeys and psychedelics. That's the whole thing.
I love it.
It's called Higher Primate. Higher-primate.com.
Oh, I saw it on the website.
Yeah,
and you do real estate too, right?
No, not anymore. Now I cater only to the gay community. That's something someone created, like the whole pamphlet about this guy catering only to the gay community. put it out online.
Dude, that poll, you're kicking ass on that poll. I think since we talked about the poll yesterday, you're now up.
What's the poll about the trannies? Yeah. The tranny MMA fighter that fights.
Okay. Can I get your back on that for 1 second? Again, yeah. I don't like to kiss ass, but I saw that interview. Because I was listening to that one, but I also saw
David
Lee
Roth. That was with David Lee Roth.
Yeah, but I was watching the clip, but they were apparently... Somebody was pissed at you about that.
I don't know.
But you were very... You were almost, like, knew that the clip was going to get out almost, and you were, like, very politically correct in what you said in a weird way. Like, you don't forget, you said transgender even.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing controversial about what you said.
Well, I'm not, you know, I'm not an insensitive person. You know, even though I'm a comedian... When I'm talking seriously about a subject, if I was on stage, I might say tranny, but I don't want to be disrespectful to what someone's choice is. And if I call you a tranny, I wish we were good enough friends where you could fucking take it. Okay, I wish, you know, that I could call you a tranny and you would laugh it off and just be happy to be whoever.
But just the fact that you knew to say, because I'm learning this on Comedy Central through Standards and Practices, what you're supposed to say and not supposed to say tranny. But I was impressed that you said transgender, and all you said. Was that they shouldn't be – this woman, and you even called her a woman, shouldn't be allowed to fight – or this – no, you called her a woman. You said she shouldn't be allowed to fight men. That's not fair.
Yeah. Well, that she shouldn't be – no, she shouldn't be allowed to fight women.
To fight women. Yeah, I'm sorry.
And by the way, she fought women without disclosing the fact that she used to be
again,
a man.
Again, so that's lying.
And there's doctors that are saying – this is something that – we talked about this yesterday, but just in the – you know, the possibility that no one heard that, or people listening, some of you haven't heard that. There's mechanical advantages to being a man that are absolutely undeniable. The size of the hands, the width of the shoulders, the fact that you've had testosterone freely flowing through your body for 30 years. Yes, when you go on hormone replacement therapy and take estrogen, you lose bone mass. You most certainly lose some muscle mass. You definitely change physiologically and become closer to a woman. But it's not a woman. And people will say, well, what about a woman who's just naturally strong? What about like a Serena Williams, like a super athlete woman? Okay, that is who she is. We're not talking about allowing someone to go from the most vicious and powerful sex, the male sex, and compete in a violent sport against the softer sex. There's aberrations.
Hurt people. But to clear it up, you were saying nothing about the transgender community. You were just saying that this particular person should not be allowed to fight women.
Fight women. That's it. Even if it's a race, if it's a game of basketball, even we joked around about there's a 50-year-old man in California that's a transgender and has joined this college basketball team and is playing women's college basketball as a 6'6", 220-pound man. He's enormous.
That's insane.
Yeah. It is insane. But I don't have a problem with it. No one's getting hurt. Exactly. As long as he doesn't start like hard fouling or bullying people or something like that and using his size. And it seems like they all like him. I don't have a problem with it. If it was my daughter and she got hurt playing with him because he knocked her over, I might be like, hey, man, that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, an elbow to the face. Yeah,
or something along those lines. But for the most part, I think in non-contact sports, it's probably, you know – I mean, I think the Olympics should probably have a standard. I don't know what it is, if they've even figured it out yet. I think they do have it. I think it's 2 years. You have to be 2 years of hormone replacement. But I do not think that should apply to violent combat sports. I just don't.
What if like Ronda Rousey was like, look, I want to fight this trigger. You know, transgender.
Trigger?
Yeah, what?
What is that?
He's a grown man.
I think that's
grown
a safe word.
I don't even know what it means.
Yeah, that's his safe word.
That's my safe word. Do you think she should be allowed?
trigger.
So should that be allowed though? Like if Ronda
first of all, Ronda Rousey is obviously, if you're looking at the spectrum of powerful females, she's at the very top of the spectrum. She's a world champion woman's cage fighter. You know, she is a fucking legit certified badass. So this guy that became a woman was never as skilled as Ronda Rousey when he was a man. And the strength and the skill that Ronda Rousey has, I'm pretty sure she'd be able to overcome some a transgender average person. But, you know, what if you found out that Ronda Rousey used to be a man and that's why she was so badass and flipping people around? This transgender has knocked three women brutally unconscious in cage fights that did not know that she used to be a man. And she's stopping them like inside of 30 seconds. Okay, that I've watched the fight. That is not the way a woman moves. That's the way a man moves. I'm watching the way she's beating up on these people. The mechanical advantage is still there. If you look at her, her fucking shoulders are wide. Her arms
also,
are huge.
Also, the deception is a part of it. Yes. You should be able to, you should say who you are.
Well, that's a thing. There's a real problem in the transgender community and in the super progressive community that supports transgenders. They don't believe you should even have to disclose that you used to be a transgender when you're dating. They don't think that you should be able to have to disclose it for work. They don't think you should have to disclose it for competition. And I say bullshit, because it's not a woman. You're saying it's a woman because they've changed into a woman and they're injecting women's hormones into it. But if you look at them chromosomally, that is an XY chromosome.
But
that's a man.
If you talk to them individually, for the most part, they don't – like my brother's gay and knows a lot of transgenders who he calls trannies, but I'm not allowed to say tranny because I'm not gay.
Because you're white.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But you should suck a cock just so you could say.
Yeah, I should. I'm close.
Suck your brother's cock and then you're done.
Listen, who
you
said,
know where it's
who,
been?
Who said
He's
I had
– to be honest with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly. How do you know? You don't know where my mouth has been. But like every transgender who I've met through my brother – totally cool. They always joke about they say tranny. You know, they say like, I used to be. It's a joke.
Right.
I guarantee you all these people I'm talking about wouldn't give a shit about what you're saying.
There's a lot of the people that are getting super upset are not even transgender.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I think that's
supportive people.
We're more of those angers. I don't think the anger's coming from that community.
There's this weird left-wing anger thing going on, you know, that is where people think that if you're not progressive and you disagree with them in some way, that it's cool to call you an asshole or a caveman or a piece of shit or whatever. And I've been taking a lot of this on Twitter. It's hilarious from people where I have been nothing but supportive of everything except a man who used to be a man fighting women.
That's why I'm supporting you. That's you because you went out of your way to just say this specific person.
Yeah.
And you even called her a woman.
Yeah, well, she's not a woman, but if she wants to be a woman, I'm cool with that. Yeah. If you want to be a her, that's cool. You are a transgender. That's what you are. Yeah. And you're a transgender woman. And I am totally okay with whatever you want to do for a living, whatever you want to call yourself. I'm okay with all of that as long as you can't beat up women, because I really don't think that it's fair.
So why wouldn't women's groups come to your aid and say we don't want
– I think this is a relatively new issue, first of all. This is a relatively new issue. But Misha Tate, who's a high-level women's MMA fighter, has already said – she's going to be the coaches on the next Ultimate Fighter. She just said she would never fight this chick. She just said, you know, she wants to – she would need to hear more about, you know, genetics and test – or body composition and testing.
Well, I have, you know, like on that same – like I have gay friends who like hate GLAAD. They're like they're making us sound like we're prudes and stuck up. Like they just take it too far,
right?
So like it's like, you know, just everyone needs to calm down.
Well, there's this thing in the progressive community where they're really aggressive and shitty with people that has an opposing opinion, and they like immediately like one of the like I've had disagreements with people about rules and regulations regarding cage fighting, about decisions for cage fights, and have many more people be way more polite about their disagreements, or I felt that he won because of this reason, but hey, thanks for the forum to discuss this, or people pretty fucking cool and rational when it comes to cage fighting fans. But people that are upset with me, that disagree with me about this tranny thing, universally have been insulting. Almost universally. And I look
like
at their thing.
How many tweets do you think you've gotten about it?
Hundreds.
Hundreds. Just
I don't know. No. Put it away. I don't even care. I don't
even care. But less. But this has been less than how long?
I don't know. The David Lee Roth thing was last week. But
less than a week.
Yeah. Right. Well, whatever it is. It's interesting that so many people who consider themselves sensitive, left-wing, are also like really quick to insult you for no fucking reason. Like really quick, even when I've responded to them without insults, you get more back. Asshole, shithead, dickwad, just over and over and over again. You fucking insensitive pig. You know, like you.
Well, I'd
you
be the first. Like I'm an honest guy. I would be the first to tell you if I thought you were being insensitive, or if like if you were saying shit about, you know, certain, you know, I wouldn't bullshit you, right, if I thought you were making fun of gay people or transgenders or whatever it is. But that was not what you were doing. That's why I'm sticking up for you.
Well, thank you. But that's sort of my point. My point is that there's a bunch of people in this society that aren't really outraged. What they're doing is choosing to be outraged. And they're outraged about a lot of shit. They're outraged about the state of their own life. They're outraged about the progress they have in their career, their romance, their whatever the fuck it is, their weight loss program. They're outraged about a lot of shit. And when something comes along where they have the green light to be upset about things, then they feel like it's
their... They're just on Twitter waiting to get upset.
And they feel like it's cool to, like, lash out. It's cool. It's cool to, like, I'm taking a stand. Fuck this and fuck that and fuck you. And whoa, like, we're just talking about a guy who gets an operation and now is allowed to beat the fuck out of girls. And I'm just saying that I know a lot about beating the fuck out of people. I'm a professional cage fighting commentator. I've been involved in martial arts my entire life. And I know a lot of trannies. And I know trannies that look like girls. I met a tranny once. She was tiny. She weighed like 100 pounds. And you would never know that this was a girl or wasn't a girl, that this was born a guy.
And I've made that mistake a couple of times.
I've had it happen a bunch of times. We had one on The Man Show. She called herself Vanity. And she was a beautiful man. Really, really pretty. And she also had a dick that looked like a poisoned monkey cock. It was like blackened. It was like she was slowly poisoning it by feeding it estrogen.
Did it taste the same?
I don't know. I didn't even – I was drunk at the time. No. This woman, what we had – we had the show called – this is one of the things about working for Comedy Central. I'm sure your experience is probably more positive than ours because we were coming in sort of to a pre-existing show.
Yeah, Jimmy and
– Yeah, and they had a lot of ideas about what it should and shouldn't be. One of the things was we had a show called
Make Me. Previous regime than me, yeah. So I don't know these people.
Yeah, those fucks. They're done. They're done. You're dead. We had a show called Make Me Hard. And Make Me Hard was we would put a box under your cock that was supposed to, like, recognize when you got a boner. And there was a light bulb on it. And the light bulb would flash red whenever your dick got hard. So we would have things like midgets eating bananas. And, of course, your dick would get hard. And just really ridiculous shit. So we had this woman She was in a bikini, and I'm telling you, there's no way you would not know that she was born a man. She's hot as fuck. If you were stuck on a deserted island with her, you wouldn't even care that much as long as she kept her pants on.
Yeah.
She's pre-op, okay? So she's on top of this guy, and she's pouring whipped cream all over her enhanced breasts, which looked amazing. The guy's sucking the whipped cream off of her breasts. Everyone's going fucking crazy. Then she pulls her pants down to reveal her poisoned dick.
Yeah.
This withered bonobo monkey dick.
Looks like mine.
And, of course, then the light starts flashing like crazy. The guy's dick got hard as a rock. And the audience let out one of the most tangible moans I've ever heard. Like, one of the most, like, visceral, like, down to your DNA moan. It was like, as soon as the cock came out, it was like, oh, oh! It was just, no! Like, thinking about the fact this guy had just been sucking on this girl's tits. Sucking whipped cream off her tits, like, seconds ago. All the way, by the way, he's tied up. Yeah. Right? He can't move. This box is on his cock.
It's crazy because my show, they have to – is it up there?
No, we're not going to do that.
We did audience testing of our show, and one of the first bits I did on my show was my buddy Brian, who's gay.
Hey.
You're not his buddy.
No.
There's other Brians in the world, you fuck.
Yeah, exactly. You're my buddy now, but he was my buddy still. He's gay, so that app Grindr where you meet guys – you know the app Grindr?
Yeah, yeah.
So I get on Grindr. I try to get him laid through the app.
Right.
So we send the show to audience testing. This is what I heard because I never saw the results. It's like once the audience saw that scene, they were done. Like they will not watch this show. Like they thought the whole show was – like it almost made me not go to air because the audience was like, this is a gay show.
What?
Like,
wow.
Isn't that crazy to think?
Wow.
That like they couldn't – what happened – what I heard was that the – you know, people stopped – you know, they move the meters and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
People just tune, like, they're done. Like, there was funny stuff after. I thought that piece was really funny, which is actually airing.
Wow.
It's going to air. It is, so I give them credit for airing it. But they just stay tuned. They're just like, this is gay, and I don't want the testing people to think I'm gay, so I'm not going to say I like this show.
Wow.
It's not even, it wasn't even, you know, it's just me trying to get my buddy laid.
Well, first of all, you have to think who's testing the show. Those are the people that don't have jobs, that they pay to sit down and watch these things. And a lot of those people
I was going to say, I give credit to the network for ignoring that data.
Yeah.
That's just cool of them to say, listen, these guys didn't like the show because they thought it was, there was a gay scene, so fuck it.
I think one of the things that we've learned is that there's only one way for a unique vision to get onto television, whether it's or in any form, whether it's a movie or it's got to be this one person's idea. Ben Hoffman, what do you think is funny? Go with it. And if you're good, and if you understand social boundaries, and if you understand how to display something that might be controversial and allow people to sort of see where you're coming from, they'll accept it, or enough people will accept it, and then also they'll gravitate towards it. They'll go, hey, this is Ben Hoffman, this guy's for real, his show is
good.
That
was the appreciate that. That was the whole vision of the show, which is, people always ask me, like, how'd you get this show on there? It's crazy, you got this fucking thing on there, how'd you do it? And I'm not making this up when I say this. The goal of the pilot, because I was getting starting to get more writing gigs, and I wanted to get better writing gigs, so I decided I'm going to make a pilot that's just to get me better writing. I'm saying this to be completely honest. I don't want the show to get picked up. That was my mode of thinking. I go, I want to make the craziest pilot ever that people will see in the industry and say, who the fuck is this? I got to meet this guy. We can't air this. This is unairable. Right. I got that note at one point. This is unairable. And it was not for air. It's just going to be totally me. So instead of having to send writing samples, I could send this Comedy Central pilot out to people and then make me seem more legit. Then I get a call like, oh shit, Ben, you're not going to believe this. They fucking love the pilot. Which is great. But at the time, it was not even a goal of mine, which is almost the best way to do it, which is I'm not going to listen to fucking anything.
Right.
And there, I get, you know, Kent is a guy, you know, guy running things over there, and he's really into individual voices, which is, I'm hoping, that's why I'm hoping the show, and there's a lot of that stuff going on over there, and I hate to be the guy. Kent Alterman,
okay,
you know?
Yeah. Okay,
and he's been fucking great. He's nice. Like, do your thing. And he gives me notes that make the show, and I'm not saying this to Kazess because he's probably not listening, although hopefully someone will give this to him. He's giving me notes that makes the show more me.
Right.
You know, so he's going through the thing. So I'm hoping people watch the show, obviously, so I can keep doing it. But I'm really in a rare place where I can do the exact – there is nothing I've done on this show that I don't want
to
do.
That's perfect. That's the only way to do a show, right? You know, someone really has to get you, think you're talented, and then support you.
The problem, the only downside is when like these Twitter things and that comes in, it's extra. I have to ignore it, of course, but they really are insulting you. Like when you go on stage and do your stand up, and people don't like it, and it's harder, different than you because people are coming and they're paying money because they like your show. But if you put yourself out there, like on your stand up specials you've done, and people don't like it, they are insulting you as a person.
Right.
It's like, if they insult my show, they're insulting me.
Right.
Like, my actual dad's on the show, you know?
Yeah, but that's good.
I love it. I mean, it took me a couple weeks to get used to it, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
To read that shit and get used to personal – because all the stuff I'd done was, like, I was part of a show,
mm-hmm,
or writing on a show, producing a show, having a small part on a show. So to have my name in the show and have – you don't think about the time because there's no live studio audience, but to do a show – you know, kind of with my friends and kind of on my own, do my own, put myself up, you know, out there for everyone to see without a live audience. You just don't know. And then it's like a couple months later it airs, it's like, wait a second, I really fucking put myself out there.
Well,
like,
you have to do that though, because that's the honest reaction. That's the people that aren't paid, and some of them are going to be assholes and they're going to hate everything, but the other ones have good points and they make it better.
Exactly. And also, but if let's say if 60% of the people like it, that's plenty of audience.
That's
more than enough people.
It's more than plenty. And if 40% hate it, you can't make everybody happy.
Exactly. There's, I've learned that at the hard way.
There's music that I love that I've talked about on the podcast, and I'll get people fucking hate tweeting me. That fucking pussy shit.
People
or
get
whatever.
Sensitive about
music. One of my favorite bands, Honey Honey, that we've had on the podcast a bunch of times. Every time we have them on, I get a fucking 100 hate
know,
tweets
honey,
from cunts. There's a bunch of people out there that are just miserable.
And the crazy thing is, these are people who just listen to your show.
Yeah.
And they want to just – so they're fans insulting one particular
– there's always going to be that, especially because the anonymity of the internet and the fact that they can just interact with you through text on a screen. There's very little like reason to be kind. There's very little
– it's weird. I saw one of your tweets the other day and it stuck with me. I was – because I was reading – like, you know, I got to stop reading this shit, I think, although it's sometimes fun to read, even insults. But you're – what did you say? You saw Oz –
The Wizard of Oz. Yeah.
The new Oz movie.
The new Oz, yeah.
And you're like, got bad reviews. Just a reminder that most critics are sad cunts. Isn't that what you said?
Yeah.
Something like that?
It's just reinforced my notion, my belief that most critics are sad cunts.
I'm like, huh, that makes me feel bad. Like, that tweet calmed me down for about 30 to 35 seconds.
The reality is, most people are critics who are critics because they don't have anything to contribute. They're not artists. They wanted to be artists. Almost every critic wanted to be something artistic, whether it's a writer or whether it's they wanted to do screenplays or novels. And in fact, some of them have and failed. They're not the right people for the job. The only right people for the job are regular people, not
the
people
the audience,
that get paid.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And don't get me wrong. I wasn't making – like when an Asian woman crosses the street and you see me hit a gong – like, I wasn't going, this is critics gold, man. This is like, people are going
to... You're just trying to be funny.
And the whole point of the show is just comedy. That's all it is.
We do that in stand-up, and we do that in, you know, on the podcast. You're not always saying things because it's supposed to be the most brilliant thing ever. You know what the funny thing to say is. You know what the funny thing to do is.
Yeah, I mean, I like these kind of, on these kind of podcasts where I don't have to be funny all the time. Again, I'm knocking it dead if that's the case. But, you know, like, when you have time, you want to make a show, you just want it to be funny. You're not thinking about, like, well, this reached the artistic... It's just, like, fucking be funny.
Playing to the back of the room like that is super dangerous. That's like some UCB shit where you see comics that will survive there, but they go anywhere else and they eat a fat plate of dicks.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because you're trying to be this, like, you know, really eccentric... playing to the back of the room, inside joke, you know, very verbose, you know, very articulate. You're trying to appeal to the critics. You're trying to...
Well, I think that's I've noticed that recently. To me, the death of comedy is cool.
Yeah.
People trying to be cool is killing comedy. And there's just so much of that shit nowadays. It's like those cool indie bands, you know, these cool indie... there's just so much coolness.
Well, to be cool.
Trying to
there's
be
certain
cool.
people that are just cool. And
yeah,
it
you
just
can't help it.
Is who they are.
Like, you know...
Yeah.
Chris Rock is cool.
Right.
What are you going to do about it?
Exactly.
But,
perfect example.
But
Dave Chappelle's cool.
Exactly. He's a cool guy. But, you know, he knows how to bring – I'm not saying you can't be cool. I'm just saying
– can't try to be cool.
That's what these people are worried about, making an ass out of themselves.
Right.
They're getting in the way of their comedy by trying to be cool.
Well, there's that thing too where they
criticize – my show is uncool.
There's that thing too where they criticize physical comedy and they criticize anybody who tries too hard. They criticize anybody who's animated on stage. Like, oh, he's one of those comics. You know, like what? An entertainer? Like,
exactly.
Someone's actually funny?
I was watching Jim Carrey on this interview the other day, and he was this Inside Comedy Show on Showtime is actually pretty good. And he was talking about how like Ace Ventura came out, and like obviously it's not the critics. Critics don't go, hey, go see Ace Ventura. But he got calls from Steve Martin, and like all his favorite comics were coming up to him and telling him. Like, other comics are saying, God, this movie's brilliant. And he was like, who gives a fuck about
right.
the critics? You know, Steve Martin called me on my phone. Like, my favorite comedian called me and said...
He called you?
No, listen to what he's saying, you fuck.
I'm Jim Carrey right now. Right.
Jesus Christ, Brian.
No.
Pay attention.
Steve Martin didn't call me. But it would be cool if people tuned in right now.
He just woke up. Steve Martin called you? Yeah. What? Who are you? That's
sorry,
what happens. You fucking playing solitaire over there, you fuck.
No,
whatever you
do. But now I take it personally. Maybe I'm being so fucking boring.
Listen, man, you're not going to – your art, whatever it is, whether it's a TV show or a stand-up comedy act, it's a work in progress. You're always improving it and you're constantly getting better. And part of the input is criticism, whether it's positive or negative, the input of the audience, whether it's laughter or people sending you text messages saying
which
you
criticism hurts you the most though? Is there any that hurts you at this point or no?
Well, it shouldn't hurt you.
I'm telling you.
What hurts me is when they're right. That's what hurts me.
Yeah, you're
If I did something where I knew it was lazy, or I did something where I half-assed it, if you tell me something sucked and I'm like, okay, you say it sucked, I just heard 1,000 people laugh their asses off and they enjoyed it and I like that kind of comedy, okay, that's all fine. You know, you could say it sucks. It's just not your style. I know what I'm doing. I know my style. I know what I enjoy doing. What would bother me and what has in the past is when someone would say something and I knew that they were right. You know, I hadn't been working hard enough at something, or it was lazy, or the bit was, you know, it was a cheap ending to the bit, or whatever, something like that. So, but those have been super important over the years. Like, that negative criticism oftentimes helps you more than anything.
That's interesting. I never thought about it like that. Because I'll bet there's some that really stung and got me really pissed because they were probably
true. How much stand-up do you do?
I don't do stand-up.
Okay, that's the thing.
Yeah.
See, when you're doing stand-up, you're constantly getting reactions from the crowd. You're constantly getting input.
Well, I mean, I did a lot of, you know, I did sketch all the time. So I was, you know, I've been in front of those non-laughing audiences. So that's, which is an important
Similar, part, but the difference being, of course, that when you're a stand-up, you're completely on your own up there. And you've got nothing to talk about other than what's inside your head and trying to relay these ideas to the audience. And some people can do it and some people can't. Some people can do it some days and can't do it the other days. And when, especially when you start out, there's a long process from the time you first start out to the time when you're like a legit headliner, 10 years in plus. And along the way, you have to bomb. You literally, there's no way to do it right every time. You're going to fuck up. You're going to be insecure. You're going to get in a fight with your girlfriend. You're going to fucking have a bill that you have to pay that's on your mind. There's going to be a lot of shit, and you're going to have to learn how to navigate and negotiate every one of those particular situations.
Yeah, I mean, I that's kind of why I didn't get into stand-up, is because I just knew, first of all, I didn't. It's not what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to do TV, so I didn't want to be one of those guys who did stand-up to try to get something else out of it.
Right.
But, like, I just knew I wouldn't be good at it. You know, it wasn't my thing. So that's why I started, you know, doing the writing and all that. I wanted to work my way into TV. Although my TV is kind of, you know, that's my stand-up, which is me putting myself on there.
Well, there's a lot of people that have become, like, sort of internet stand-ups. You know, like, they do, like, YouTube videos and shit, and they're like, they'll have, like, a million hits on them, and you find it. And they're just a funny guy who's got a take on something, going to the movies or this or that, and I think you don't need to only do it live in front of an audience with a microphone. It's just, that's what I like. That's my I enjoy it. But yeah. I could totally see a bunch of different outlets for kind of the same thing. It's like, what is your point of view? What is your way to create a product, whether it's a video or an audio clip, whatever it is that you think is good?
Well, when people ask me to do live stuff, I just do this one bit that I have from my show live. So I went and saw stand up Saturday. I'm like, I forgot how fun it is to watch like funny stand up. It was fucking great.
Yeah.
I just go very rarely. I mean, my favorite, I don't know that I've ever laughed harder than watching Norm Macdonald do stand up. He's my favorite stand-up to watch.
Very funny guy. Just an awesome guy,
He has a
too.
New podcast, too, with Adam from Tempe Improv.
Oh, does he manages, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great, man.
He wants to come on the show, I think.
Fuck, yeah.
He's on the Ben Show, by the way. but just watching, just knowing I can't do it. Or as a kid watching Richard Pryor movies, like, I can never fucking do that.
Could do that. That's not true. It's just a matter of time, you know. Richard Pryor wasn't good when he started out either. Nobody was. You start out and you sort of figure it out, and you know, it's like anything else. So yeah. What do you choose?
I'm happy where I am. So I don't want people to think like I'm bitching and moaning.
I don't think anybody does.
Well, I kind of do.
Do you?
Yeah.
The thing about you receiving feedback though from the audience, it's just you're not getting that feedback every weekend in a club, you know. So when you're doing it, you're putting together, you're editing it, and boom, throwing it out there, and then you get the feedback. So it's more of a slow reaction to the work.
You're getting it, but you get it all at once. You get it that night.
Right.
And then it kind of slows down. Then every Thursday night I get...
A new guy, too. The new guy thing is like, who's this fucking new guy?
Yeah, and I've noticed that over 3 weeks I've watched it dissipate, which is a good sign for me. I've watched it like... The haters leave. They don't watch every week. They're just like, you interrupted my fucking favorite show with your dumb shit. I hate you. They go away, and then the people who like it stick around. It's just even me, it's hard for me to get used to a new show, you know, and a new guy. It's
of course.
It takes a while.
Yeah, it's really hard to get into new shows. There's not that there's a better selection of shows to watch now though than I think I've ever been before.
And also there's a new show after mine called Nathan for You, starring Nathan Fielder, which is another really funny show. Same kind of thing. He's just being himself, and we're both kind of in the same boat, which is a new night, you know, new faces. New comedian.
What is it called? Nathan?
Nathan for You. It's really funny.
Nathan for You.
He takes on to small businesses and gives them business advice, but he kind of doesn't know what he's doing. It's really
a good idea.
Yeah, you should watch it. It's really good.
And his last name is Nathan what?
Fielder.
Fielder.
Yeah, so me and him have our you know, I'm at 10, he's at 10:30 Thursday. So it's kind of this new night of comedy for Comedy Central of two unknown guys. So it's a slow build, but they're, you know.
Bringing back the Cosby now.
I think, yeah, exactly. I think that it's so important to have new faces. I think it's so important to have new ideas and new, like your show, like the, I love the idea of the hybrid between a reality show and like scripted shit, but funny. Like that clip was great. I'm really looking forward to watching your show now because of that one clip. Like that's like, it's really.
Well, you showed a clip, you tweeted a clip about my, I don't even know if you knew it was my show. That last text ad thing, didn't you tweet that? The wheelchair tweeting, talking about the last text he ever sent. Did you send that?
I believe
about
so.
About the titties?
Yes.
That was my, that's from my show.
Oh, okay.
You didn't even know. So you're watching it. You don't even know you're watching it.
Well, that's good, man.
Yeah.
That's a good sign.
Yeah. So people are watching it and tweeting about it. They don't even know my name.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Including Joe Rogan.
Well, it's beginning, you know. I mean, that's, everybody starts from a beginning point, and you're off to the races. It's
I'm psyched about it.
But I think it's cool that Comedy Central is trying, like, new ideas and taking new chances like that.
Yeah, that's what I was saying about the new regime.
It's like a lot of the same guys over and over again, and you were getting, like, a lot of stale shit, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know that old regime, but I didn't know any about those people, but...
This is how bad it was. You know the show Make Me Hard that I told you about?
Yeah.
They wouldn't let us use the word hard. The argument was, it's too mean or too vulgar. Let's make it Make Me Stiff. And I go, are you fucking serious? I go, are we really having this conversation? You're really telling me that Make Me Stiff is less offensive than Make Me Hard? You would like us to change the sign? Yes, that's how we feel. Just women.
Yeah, that's
nutty,
true.
Nutty, crazy fucks.
I wouldn't.
This was post 9/11 boners, right?
No, that was even before the Janet Jackson thing. The Janet Jackson thing happened in the middle of Doug and I doing the Man Show.
Oh shit, that's no good.
That was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. I thought that was going to have no effect. I was like, why would anybody give a fuck? She pulls her tit out in the Super Bowl, whatever. But meanwhile, these people were scrambling. We showed up on the set on Monday, and we had to have a special meeting where they killed, like, half of our fucking monologues, half of our
things.
That
was a crazy time, huh? Just cause
you know what it was? A bunch of weasels who were worried about losing their job, so they started scrambling to appease the world. And then the advertiser going, what is the American people are outraged at television. Oh, we're going to soften everything up. Oh, I want to keep my job, and I want to keep my nice house, and I want to buy a boat, so we're going to polish it up, and we're gonna give the American people what they want. What do they want? They want no tits? Okay, no tits? No tits! So we had the Man Show, and we had all these nutty fucking sketches that we wanted to do, all this craziness and naked people and shit. No. They started hacking at it. Everything controversial.
That's crazy. Yeah, I remember at that Lou Reed Walk on the Wild Side, they edited that song for radio after the Janet Jackson thing. That song had been airing for 30 years on the radio.
Oh, God.
And they took out a line from that song on the radio, and Lou Reed fucking flipped.
What was the line that they took out?
There was a line that slipped in there that something about something giving head.
Yeah.
And it was...
She's giving head, yeah.
Yeah, it's never... It
Even
had never
when
been...
she was giving head.
Say, yeah. Hey, babe, take a walk. And it had been airing on the radio on regular rock stations perfectly fine for 30 years after Janet Jackson's boob. They edited.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
There's a weird clampdown in this world today, and I think part of it has to be attributed to the fact that people know that the world is insane. And the more they can sort of tighten things down and regulate and stop and no assault guns and no drugs and no swearing and the more like control that they can have over people, what they do, what they say, or what sort of ideology gets broadcast, the more they can do that, the better, because then it allows them to believe somehow or another they've got at least a small hold on this fucking craziness that's in front of them, which is the human species right now. I mean, you look at the internet and you see what the fuck people are really all about.
Yeah, trust me, I've been there.
It's loads and heads getting cut off and car accidents and fucking lion attacks. That's the internet, goddamn it. It's 30% porn.
My first buddy who got the internet, I remember going, he's like, dude, the first thing I saw on the internet is, look at this, a guy's head inside a vagina.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I don't know what the internet is, but I'm already on board. I like this. I like where this business is going. I want stock.
Yeah, you can find out a lot of things that are possible that you would like, there's no way. Come on. Porn represents 30% of the internet.
I find that even sounds low.
Seems
to me.
Small, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say
real small.
But that's a lot,
no,
dude.
Someone gave me a list. Someone gave me a list of the top. I think it was we were doing trying to figure out marketing or something for the show, and the list of the top websites in the world. It was the craziest. I knew everyone. It was like, I'm not even kidding, 12 of the 20. It was like Pornhub and then like five down CNN.com. It was like like stuff that I found out about later, like X-Hamster. Have you ever heard of X-Hamster?
Yeah. Yes, of course.
X-Hamster was like number 3 or something. And like, you know, Google was below. Like, it was insane.
Yeah, the real porn or the real internet.
That's where the real money is.
Quite shocking. Yeah, the internet, if you think about it, is more. I mean, 30% is like a weird number. But if you stop and think about what it really means, it's almost a third.
33%. Like, I still think that's a conservative number, but even let's say it is a third.
Is it? You really do? 1 out of 3?
I think it's higher than that.
You think most internet traffic, more than 1 out of 3 is porn.
Just from the numbers I've seen before.
That's
but I'm saying, yeah, for me it's 90. But
you know you're wrong. You know something wrong with you.
Of course. I know. I've got issues, man.
But you know that you don't represent most people.
No, I think because I'm open about it, I'm probably not as dark as most people. Most people, it's probably 98.
Well, comedians are one of the few that are allowed to talk freely about beating off without fear of losing our jobs, too.
That's true, but let's say it is a third.
Yeah.
And that's crazy to think that one third of the time spent on the internet is looking at porn.
Yeah,
that's insane.
That I think it is a third. I think a third is probably pretty, well, or 30%.
Well,
I think it's pretty
accurate. If you think about it, like, you have to use internet so much for email or work stuff, and there is a lot of regular stuff you have to do. So maybe that is right. I don't know.
We're definitely entering into some weird area where people are trying to like slow down like free expression. I think.
Oh, there's some debauchery out there, man. I mean, I listen, when you go on those porn sites and you hit the wrong button, which I've done many times, or maybe it's
the right button.
I was going to say, some nights it's the right button. Holy man, have I seen some. Like how I didn't curse on that one?
Yeah.
I've seen some crazy shit on most of which, you know, I'd rather not talk about. But
yeah.
Because it led to masturbation.
Well, it's interesting how, okay, if that's true, that's 30% of the internet. Let's assume that's true. And then those people who are watching this porn on this massive amounts of downloads and all this stuff, they're going to regular jobs where they have to be restricted. They're going to regular jobs where
maybe the 30 is right. But again, that's a lot.
It's a lot. But the idea is that when they're at work or when they're interacting with people for the majority of the time, they have to suppress all of that. Like, all of that is inside their head, but the internet doesn't represent how you communicate in the corporate world. It doesn't represent how you communicate in your average everyday experience. You're like way more like conservative, way more buttoned down, way more like suppressed.
Well, that's why I love comedy, because not to go back to my show, but we do a bit on the show where you have a barbershop quartet count down the top internet porn videos of the week. So, like, you would come into our office and the writers and the producers are all around just look watching porn to find the best titles. That's a job.
Right.
We get paid for that just to look at funny porn titles. I fucking love it.
Yeah, there's some really fucking funny ones, man. We were talking about Annabella Chong yesterday, who was the first woman to do a gangbang, and she
was
actually
the first?
Yeah, she actually did it because she was a women's studies student, I believe, at USC, and she was trying to figure out she wanted to be like a female stud, like the female version of a stud. So she fucked like 69 dudes in movies. But when you look at like
what
her,
year was this?
It wasn't that many years ago. 95. At the age of 22, she became famous by engaging in 251 sex acts with 69 women, or 69 men rather, over a 10-hour period, with the resulting footage being promoted as the world's biggest gangbang.
Huh.
Yeah, but the names of the titles were fucking hilarious.
Yeah, no, we have some. My favorite was my favorite one that we, of course, I don't know if you have to bleep it. It was Chubby Honey Has a Bushy Pussy.
Honey Has a Bushy Pussy.
And hearing
pussy.
A barbershop quartet singing is pretty great. But just, I mean, you can't write anything funnier than that.
Yeah. I'm trying to find her.
When I was in San Diego, this is what was on the TV at the hotel room, Joe.
Ass Factor.
Oh, anal Ass Factor.
Is that Asa? Asa?
It looks like. Yeah,
probably is her. She takes it up the butt all the time. Yeah, they could probably go to jail for that you stealing Fear Factors thing. But that's they always have really funny names. Like, here's one that she was in, Annabelle Chong, Sergeant Pecker's Lonely Hearts Club Gang Bang.
I would watch that right now.
Here's another one. What's a nice girl like you doing in an anal movie?
Legitimate question.
Yeah, Anal Queen. I can't believe I did the whole team.
Whoops.
Yeah, man. There was no gangbangs when I was a kid.
There's a really good porn I would recommend. It's called Tonight's Girlfriend, and it's this guy that just like pays porn stars to be hookers for the night.
Wow, and he makes a video out of it?
Yeah.
That sounds a little bit like that Boogie Nights scene a little bit. Where she stops in the limo on the side of the on the street.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Like he makes them shower at the beginning of everything.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called, I believe it's called Tonight's Girlfriend. And the reason I like it is not that because of that. It's just filmed really. He does a good job filming it. So
You like the way it's. You like the cinematography.
Yeah. Right, there's. Cool. I mean, some people just have better.
Well, I like good cinematography, so I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Wow. And this guy, is it a website?
I don't know if it's a website. I've just seen a few of the videos online.
And so a lot of those girls will work as escorts, right? Is that how it works?
I think the idea is that they're not really – they're playing escorts for the movie, or at least most of them. But then if you think about that, they're actually getting paid to have sex, so they're actually being escorts. So
you're kind of a prostitute anyway.
Yeah, so.
Kind of. Well, I read one girl saying that. I read an article about a brothel, one of those Nevada brothels, and there was a porn star started working at the brothel, and her attitude was, well, porn's just sort of like a revolving brothel anyway.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh.
Jesus. That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, why? How is it not true?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was weird, like, listening to her talk about her attitude towards it. Like, as long as she gets to go home to her man, she was fine. She was talking about that. Like, so then the guy was asking, well, do you do, like, weekend trips? Will you do that? And she goes, well, it would have to be a ridiculous amount of money to keep me from my man. I was like,
oh my God.
Honey, I'm sorry. I got to go make a couple G's, sucking some cock. But when I come back, I'm going to buy you a motorcycle.
I would take that deal.
Would you?
Yeah.
You say that now, man.
Yeah, I would not be able to do that. No, we had an escort on the show, and I was asking her, like, what the difference is between an escort and a prostitute.
What'd she say?
And she's like, nothing.
Well, this escort, did they blur out her face?
No, we got to be showed her.
Oh, man.
And she said, I'm just a prostitute.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, the difference is a cameraman.
Yeah, but she's she's allowing you to film.
But we got her number through legitimate sources. You know, it was like online.
What's a legit prostitute source?
No, from escorts. Escorts are legit.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, okay. We got an escort. She comes over, so she's just like, yeah, I'll fuck you for whatever.
I mean, how hot was she?
She was attractive. I web chatted with her with my dad on the show.
Yeah.
Showed her to my dad. My dad's like, you know, that's a very attractive.
So prostitute. You never met her in person? You just web chatted?
No. Me and her called my dad back in Kentucky.
Oh, so you were there right next to her?
Yeah.
And you called your dad. Wow.
And she was attractive. And my dad even said as much, and she was a prostitute.
Did she try to hook it up with you?
No, she knew I didn't have. She knew it was a young show and I didn't have the cash that she was looking for.
How much cash is she looking for?
What did she say? Well, here's the thing. You don't want to go down that road because all of a sudden you're...
Jim Norton?
I can't speak for him. But
he'll speak for him. He's not shy.
It would have been odd. Also, I'm kind of a pussy. I didn't want to do it. I get freaked out by, like, germs and stuff, so I thought...
Oh, you're one of those guys.
I thought it would be weird to have sex with an escort.
When you first meet a girl and before you get busy, do you start asking questions? So,
I ask him like in subtle ways. I don't ask him like if you ask a girl that you get kind of a slap if you're, you know.
Really?
Not a slap, but like, apparently you don't. But you know, like just kind of like, you know, like you know, like do you like to party or like, you know, like I try
do you
to
like coke?
Yeah, exactly. Like I try to figure out like do you just smoke or like other things that would like lead them to a road of debauchery.
Right. What would you feel like if you were with a girl for a long time and then you found out a few years back she did a gangbang movie? But she quit. It was a bad experience.
I would flip out. I mean, what about you? I would flip out.
You'd flip out?
Totally.
Would you be mad at her?
No, not mad. I would just, I don't know that I could be with her.
But what if she was awesome other than that? What if, like, up until that moment, like, this chick's the perfect chick?
I mean, did she go through a lot of therapy after the gangbang?
Nope. She just realized, you know what? Gangbangs are not for me. I'm moving on.
I'm gonna start
teaching yoga.
Gangbang. You just wake up some morning. Gangbangs are not for me.
Maybe you do. You know,
yeah,
I mean, people do. My friend Dave, I told you, crashed his car and never had a drink again. you know, went to a little bit of court-ordered Alcoholics Anonymous.
That's true.
But I think other than that.
You know what? In your scenario, in your this scenario, that she's a completely new person, I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt.
Are you really?
I mean, not really, but I just in theoretically, yes.
But if you went down on her and it tasted a little extra salty, would you worry that's just some load creeping out of there from the gangbang that have been camping up there for a while?
And... I would check myself in the emergency room and stay there. I'd stay there for probably 2 years. And I would pay for it all myself.
Yeah, you couldn't watch, right? You wouldn't want to watch the gangbang.
Fuck.
But if someone told you about it,
but
and
do you enjoy even watching gangbangs in general?
Me, no.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm not a gangbang. I'm not even a two-on-one sort of a guy. I don't like watching that either.
That whole thing...
I
think it's guys like us who are more open talking about porn who probably watch it the least.
Maybe. You know, I don't know. Maybe.
I think it's the people who are quiet about it who are the real sickos.
Probably the least fucked up watching it. You know, but then I have daughters, so porn took on a completely different dimension since I've had kids. It's just this weird thing where you're looking at a porn like you know for a fact that used to be a baby.
Yes.
That was someone's little girl. That was someone, oh, daddy, and hugging onto you. And now she's getting plugged in the ass and the mouth, and she's gagging. And that's reality, man. I mean, that girl.
And you put it so poetically.
When she's got her tongue out, and some dude's just fucking jizzing all over her face. That used to be a baby.
She's a good girl.
There's no way to get around that. And when you have babies of your own, it totally fucks with your vision of it.
I guess. Yeah, that's why I don't want to have kids, because I want to keep watching. I want to keep jacking off the porn.
That's when dudes move on to MILFs. See, the guys who are really into MILFs, it's like you can't even think about them being a baby anymore because the bitch is like 40 and she only likes black guys now.
Have you noticed that when you watch porn, though, that's like every video is a different girl, but it's like four or five guys total and all
the same guys.
It's the same guys over and over.
They say a lot of that's because it's hard to do. Like it's hard for guys to get it up in front of strangers and cameras. Like and know that people are going to watch your dick and be comfortable. And you say you could.
You think you could seriously?
Yeah. Please. You panic when you do stand up.
A little hap of black, little bit of black power in me. I'm fine.
Yeah, you say that. People find out how small your dick really is. They'd go, "What the fuck, Brian? You said it was big." Jesus, what's wrong? You don't tell the truth about anything, you fuck.
I've never said it was big. That's all I've been in your...
But he said he could do porn.
Certainly said it was big.
No, I said it was above average.
Somebody please... That's big.
Yeah.
That's not big. Just a little above
average. What's average to you? What's the average dick that you sucked?
Like, I would say like five.
But honestly though, not even as a joke, how would you know what average is nowadays? Because the only dicks you see are on porn, and those are guys who are professional.
The only dicks you see.
Yeah.
This dude is always asking people to show their dick. Constantly going around measuring them.
I definitely have the internet, so I've seen
dicks. That's what I'm saying. In your defense, the dicks, you're seeing the cream of the crop.
You're seeing
the best dicks in the world.
Have you ever been
the juiciest, most delicious, kosher?
You're seeing the guys who get paid for those dicks.
No, I mean,
so don't compare yourself to that.
Talk amongst yourselves. I gotta pee.
I see mostly comics dicks nowadays. You know, like a comedian.
Oh, those
dicks
are probably small then. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. So you're on your fifth or sixth episode of the show.
Man, you've really been listening, man. Jesus Christ! You know how many?
Third.
Third episode, yeah.
Third episode.
Five more.
But how many have you recorded?
Oh, we're done. I actually came from the editing studio just now to wrap the last one. Like, we're wrapped as of today.
Right.
And we're done with all eight.
Now, the clip that we saw was completely uncensored, like the language and everything like that. Are you getting the beep treatment?
We're getting the bleeps, but you can watch them all on... most of the clips are uncensored online. I wasn't talking to the mic. Most of the clips are uncensored online. And there's some talk, I don't want to say yet, that we may be able to show some uncensored versions late at night.
After midnight.
Yeah,
or
I don't know what the rule is, but I don't want to promise anything, but there's has been chatter about that. So I want to get a buzz going about it,
right.
But I don't want it to be official, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, South Park did it, you know, they played their movie.
South Park, you know, and also South Park is TVMA. Because they were just like, we don't want it. You can't air TVMA before 10, which is, you know, where they say shit and fucking stuff. So you can only air the new South Parks after 10.
Right.
But they said they don't give a, you know, we don't care. Because those early reruns are, what's going on?
Joe couldn't get through the curtain. We have these new curtains in the studio, and like, it's just like, you know, where you have to try to find the opening of a curtain.
Yeah, the Joe Rogan Experience without Joe Rogan is getting a little weird.
Are you like the kind of person you don't like to shake people's hands and stuff like that?
That doesn't bother me as much anymore. I mean, it used to a little bit.
What about ass play?
Ass play is different because that's a nice clean ass. You wiped it and everything.
Maybe.
Wiped it. It's not really cleaning it well. Imagine if someone smeared shit on your face and you just took a little piece of toilet paper and wiped it off. No.
That wouldn't really work, yeah.
You'd be like, let me really clean this shit.
Really, it's really a shower is the only thing that way to clean it.
Yeah, we got to get in there. Well, I got one of those Japanese toilets. I still haven't fucking installed it yet because I'm so goddamn busy. But one of the ones that you and I experienced.
Right.
Yeah, I got one.
I always wanted to try one.
It's the best.
Is it cool?
Should have had it here for you.
You just stay on the toilet longer though. Like you find yourself, you just want to feel the water squirted in your ass, and you just don't want to stop.
God, I need one. If I get a season two, that's my first.
It's
purchase.
Really warm.
Yeah.
The seat's warm, and it blows air on your asshole after
a
clean.
I think I heard Stern talking about that. It's a whole thing where it moves up and the whole thing moves.
It's a laser that finds your butthole and then shoots it right in there.
Yeah, this has reminded me to go get that fucking thing out of my garage and have it installed.
Fuck yes.
Why don't I have it installed here, guys?
Yeah, you got if you've got it, install it.
Well, the studio's almost done. We got the curtains up now. Ben Hoffman, you're here to break in the curtains.
Yeah, I'm here. This is exciting.
Feels like show business, right? Curtains? Something about show business?
It's about time. We got the big animal outside.
That's a werewolf, buddy. It's not an animal.
It's a werewolf.
We got a Buddha. We got everything.
Yeah, it's cool.
Joe, there's a song that I really want to play, but I don't know if we should play. But you remember that Dance Floor Dale song? There's another guy that made a song. His name is Mike Diva, and it's called I'm on Crack, and it's just like that, and it's so fucking good.
But is it a song that's like registered, like, or is it on YouTube?
You know,
like,
I think he's just one of those guys that's on YouTube that just makes these cute little like minute videos, but he's really good
at video
edits.
As long as it's not like on like Universal Records or something like that, you know, or some big record company. Does it say what it's from?
He just does like a weekly video.
You think we could do it? You think we could
Would like it.
Let's just play it. All right, what's his name again?
His name's on YouTube. It's Mike Diva. It's all one word.
Free promo.
You know, a million people are going to listen to this. Easy. Yeah. So it's kind of fucked up that we even have to. You know, like
he should be paying
good.
You.
We're helping people, but you have to worry. The internet is in this.
Have you had problems with that?
No, but we have insurance for it, and we have we also have lawyers now.
Well, we'll play. We'll just play half of it,
show something of it. Yeah.
Okay. So.
We're also signing up to a couple programs.
Everybody left and right, break it down.
Back in 79, the Jambalusi in 1992. I did the Chris Paul.
Oh, you gotta see this.
I did the Cloverfield Monster. I said, fuck that shit. I went back to the Belushi.
It's like, gas, 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 gas.
Back in the day, it's like, gas, gas, gas.
Lower that a little, will ya? Okay, hold on. This music is unlistenable. It's so bad. But the video is really fascinating.
Actually, Mike Diva just made the video. The song is by a side project called The Left Rights Mindless Self-Indulgence side project.
Okay. In this particular environment,
that's mainly visual.
That video is impossible to listen to.
It's got cats and crack. I love it.
Well, the video is hilarious. The dude's
I can't stop listening
around.
To it.
How many views?
1.8 million.
Oh, fucker.
Yeah, I just love that that's possible, that a guy could just put out a video and it's – why does it have 1.8 million? Because a bunch of people said, you got to see this. It's pretty wild to watch.
Yeah.
That's Super Mario.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great video, man. It's a great video. I like the song. I might buy it right
now. Isn't it weird how when you go to a video and you see it's got 18 million views, you're like, what the fuck? How do I not know about this?
Yeah, who are these people? Well, I've seen the ones with the 100 million views. I'm like, how's that even possible?
Gangnam Style. What did that get up to?
A billion?
Yeah, it's a billion. It's in the billion.
This Mike Diva, actually, all his videos have a lot of hits because he
that really has a billion views?
Yeah.
And what are we now at? 2.5 billion about total?
Humans?
Yeah.
Whoa, more than that. Seven. We're at seven.
Seven?
7 billion, yeah.
Where did I get? No, 2.5, I was thinking maybe America, right?
No, America, 300 million.
Where did I get 2.5? This guy's laughing at me.
You made it up, unless you live in the 50s.
I'm from the 50s. I'm in a type
travel. You just gave
it's
up
7
your
billion
hand.
People in the world?
Yes. Well, there's a billion in China alone.
That's true, yeah.
There's more than a billion in Africa. Africa is 1.5 billion.
I did know there was a billion. Yeah, so okay, I fucked up.
Yeah, it's getting...
At least it won't be recorded for life.
It's getting crowded like a motherfucker in here.
That's a lot of people.
All
right, so maybe Gangnam Style's not that popular.
Well, it's really fucked. It's not really a billion people. It's 500,000 assholes who've watched it repeatedly ad nauseum.
No, but on different computers, though, because it has to be different. I think it has to be different servers.
Really? Do you think YouTube really gives a fuck where the hits are coming from? Yeah, they would want to elevate that shit.
They had that problem before because people were putting their videos up and just pressing refresh all day and night to get their counts up.
Yeah. Really? It attracts the IP address, so it counts as one view if you go to it.
Like if you watched it here and at home, it would count as two.
Oh, okay. But if we had different computers at this IP address, then it would count as one.
Correct.
Right. Mm, okay. Well, that
makes
sense.
They're a step ahead of you. So that is still, that's a very popular.
There's ways around that, though.
How do you get around it?
You use
proxies.
Yeah, proxies. You just get this list of proxies.
They must have had to do that, though, for advertising purposes because they sell advertisement now. That makes sense because they do it by CPM, by how many downloads they get.
Totally. Yeah. If you say you've got millions of views and some company buys your shit and it's just some dude clicking it over and over, they're going to be pissed.
You know, have you thought about doing a podcast at all?
I don't know.
Might be a good accompaniment to your show. You know?
That's what people are telling me. I'm not really a talker.
What are you talking about?
I mean, I don't know.
He's a lover.
Yeah, I don't feel like I would. I'm the wrong guy to ask because, again, like I said, I'm not a Ben Hoffman fan, so I'm the wrong person to be asking about this. But I just feel like I'm kind of talked out, and I don't really – like even on this show, I feel like I was done in an hour.
What do you do at home? Like when you get home tonight, do you just watch a lot of movies? Do you have a hobby?
Tonight – because we have an airing tonight, so I have to live tweet a new episode tonight. That's a new thing is you tweet along with the show.
That's nice, yeah.
Which is fine, I guess. But I don't have DirecTV, so I have to go to my friend's house who has DirecTV so I can watch the East Coast feed to live tweet it. So a couple writers will show up and we'll live tweet the show, so that'll be fun. But what was the question?
I mean, what do you do? You don't have a girlfriend.
No, that's a big – listen, that's a question I've been talking to with my therapist. What the fuck am I doing with my
therapist? How long have you been going to a therapist?
10 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, dude, I got issues.
What's the number one? Can you tell us?
Yeah, the number one would probably be OCD.
Your hands?
Yeah, but I got to say, even today, I did shake your guys' hands when I came in here, and I just now remembered that I did, so it's working, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Because you dealt with the fact that you shook our hands and didn't go immediately wash yourself?
I'm saying that a big step for me is just now remembering that 2 hours ago I shook your hands. In the old days, I would have thought about it at the time, my hands are toxic or something. It has nothing to do with the person.
I do meet and greets after shows at theaters, and I'll shake 1,000 people's hands easily.
And it never occurs to you?
No, then I go eat.
Really? You don't wash your hands before? Mm. You're a case.
Not scared.
You need to, and you shouldn't be scared because there's nothing.
I'm healthy, son.
There's nothing bad about it.
You're not going to kill me with your sweat.
But no, but see, I'm not that cured, but I'm getting closer.
No, I try to wash my hands after I do that, but there's been times where I haven't, you know, for sure, especially if I got a buzz on. I'm like, fuck it, let's go eat. You know?
Yeah, why not? I mean, literally, I was talking about this on another place. I don't want to get into it too much, but I have been to behavior therapy where they actually you literally get your hands dirty and touch your face or touch yourself. That's how they teach you to do it.
What made you feel like you needed this?
It was interfering with my life, literally. I would go to I would be in my car, I'd go get gas, and I'd be going out to meet my friends, and I had to go back home to wash my hands.
Wow, home.
Wow. Yeah,
you couldn't go to a bathroom.
No,
McDonald's
then I had to touch their. Yeah, so then by the time you get through all that shit, your day's gone, you know.
Right.
It interferes when anything. All I care about is anything that's interfering with my life.
Do you have hand sanitizer that?
No, I pass. I don't touch anything.
You need to get your guy to Howie Mandel. You know how he's.
Yeah, I know he's
completely
like that.
But he
sounds like he's not dealing with it.
No.
But
he talks about it though.
He talks about it, but do what I did. Work past it.
Yeah, good for you.
I'm dealing with my issues.
Good for
you.
And I think. You know what I like about that? What you're dealing with, that you're willing to talk about it. I think that's super important.
Oh, that's the thing is I was never shy about it. But
that's huge.
When
you're,
I have
you're
issues,
helping people by
when
doing
I have
that.
Issues, I like to be open about it and deal with them, and that helps me, you know, kind of get rid of them.
But it also helps by gauging other people's reactions, whether or not it's a real issue or whether or not it's.
Well, it was so bad that family members noticed it. That's how I knew, and then I'm like, maybe this is because I didn't know what OCD was.
Right.
And I'm like, I read about it, and I'm like. Shit, I have this times 100. You know, this is bad. And, there is a – I can fix this and improve my life. And I'm That sounds interesting to me.
Yeah, it's really bad to keep that stuff to yourself if something's really fucking with you, because I think that there's a lot of insight that you get just from talking to people. Like, I've had conversations with people where they tell me something about something fucked up about themselves, and they go, you know what? I realize I'm not fucking doing that anymore, man. I've seen people totally. Do that. Like, I mean, a friend of mine quit smoking in front of me once. He was smoking. We were about to go do a gig, and I go, "Are you smoking?" And he goes, "I only smoke before shows." And I go, "But dude, you do shows like fucking 4 days a week." Yeah. And he goes, "Yeah." "I go, well, it seems like you're smoking." And he goes, "Well, I like a cigarette right before I do a show." And I go, "Have you done many shows without it?" And he goes, "Yeah. I mean, I just started doing this." I go, "God damn, man." He goes, "You know what? You're right. What the fuck am I doing?" I go, "Yeah. What are you doing?" And so then he put his cigarette out and he quit. And he tells me, like, every time I see him, I haven't smoked since.
That you helped him quit smoking?
No, it wasn't even that I helped him. It's just that
bringing it up.
Having that conversation in front of somebody who reacts to it. Like, if someone says, "Hey, Ben, stop washing your fucking hands every 10 minutes. You need to go see a doctor. There's something crazy about that." And you're right. You know what? Yeah, I do. You're right.
So basically, what you're saying is exactly what happened. And just opening up and talking to a doctor about it, it's like, fucking fix it, you asshole.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to do this your whole life. Like, someone like I don't know Howie Mandel, but... Wouldn't that be annoying? Wouldn't you want to get it fixed?
Well, I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum because I've done jiu-jitsu for like 16 years.
Yeah,
and jiu-jitsu is men sweating in your mouth.
Yeah, I eat girls' assholes.
Well, I mean, I'm not averse to that either if the young lady's willing to clean herself up.
Right.
But my
That's a whole other subject.
Yeah.
But, you can put your OCD aside.
But yeah, that is not healthy either. I wonder how many people have gotten sick from eating ass.
Yeah, you eat raw horse meat, so that's like another thing.
Too. Listen, dude, I'm way more chimpanzee than you. My body can digest that horse meat without a problem. Yeah. I very rarely get stomach gigs.
Is that true?
Yeah. I ate horse meat. Yeah. I was in a restaurant. They served us raw horse meat.
I was going to say, isn't the new thing that, like, apparently we're all eating horse meat?
No. That was in the UK. There was some food company got, IKEA. I think it was like a lasagna or something like
that.
It was
IKEA. Yeah. IKEA
Swedish meatballs.
Yeah. And they had horse meat in them. By the way, horse meat's delicious. It's really good for you. And people are like, "That's so fucked up. How could you eat horse meat?" Yes and no. I mean, isn't it fucked up to eat a cow? Isn't it fucked up to eat a goat?
Yeah, know? I'm from Kentucky where they take their horses very seriously, but I wouldn't. If I was hungry, you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to say?
Most people throughout history have eaten horses. It's been.
I guarantee you I have without knowing it.
Yeah. I mean, the Mongols ate their horses. I mean, people have always eaten horses.
I ate at IKEA once, so I'm sure I
did. Did you really?
Yeah.
I'm sure they have
good meatballs.
Was the Swedish meat? I thought that was in the UK. Wasn't that? Over there?
I don't know. It might have been over there, but...
I heard it was here, too. I think it was.
Well, they're just starting to... I think it was. There's an Amish horse company, a company that deals with the Amish, where they're getting horses and they're slaughtering them now, like older horses, and they're slaughtering them for meat. And the idea is they're doing it through the Amish because the Amish, they don't believe in steroids or any of the things that you would worry about a horse having in its body if you ate it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Gotta be more Amish.
People are fucking super. You have a pee? Do you have to pee or something?
No. Okay. I just look anxious.
People are super attached to their horses, though, man. I live near this equestrian center, and I've taken my daughter to go ride around on horses and shit. And there's a lot of people there that would like. I mean, if you told them that you were gonna serve people some horse meat, they would fucking freak out.
I mean, being from Kentucky, I have friends who make their living, you know, doing that kind of shit. So. I know where they're coming from. Are you a horse person, though?
No, not particularly. I mean, I don't hate horses. I like horses.
I'm with
they're
you.
Nice.
I'm just never that interested in, like...
I mean, horse. I think it's a fun way to, you know, travel, get on a horse and go on a trail. It's all good. I like it, but it's not something... I mean, I could get into it. I could see falling in love with a horse and taking it. You know, like, "Oh, this is such a great horse. I love having this horse," and clean it up and brush it and feed it and it'd be your buddy. I could totally see that, but I haven't had that personal experience. And I feel like, at the end of the day, the justification of eating animals is pretty sketchy at best anyway. I mean, really, we're just fucking murdering all these animals and eating them. Does it really matter if it's a horse or a cow?
I became vegan for 1 year for no reason. I wasn't like, you know, like an animal rights person or anything. I just like, I wanted to see what, I just, for some reason, it was kind of during my OCD, just like animals are like filthy and filled with bacteria and stuff.
Right.
So I stopped eating. It's not healthy. I don't, like I got really, really thin. And, like, really tired all the time. Like, I didn't do it correctly, probably.
Well, there's that, I'm sure. But there's also, there's certain needs that we have. And one of them is the function that cholesterol has in brain function. Yeah. You know, cholesterol, like, it's not all bad for you. As a matter of fact,
when
I
they
read
do the
something.
Test, when your doctor gives you the test, he tells you your good cholesterol and your bad cholesterol.
Yeah, but the good cholesterol comes from animal protein. Oh, it comes, I'm sure. Yeah. Comes from fish.
No, I felt like shit most of that time.
Some of it's from plants. You can balance it out if you're really diligent.
Yeah, I have friends who are vegans who know how to do it correctly, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah, there's very few high level athletes that have done it. That's one.
I was gonna say there's got to be none. The only person I can think of well known. Didn't Bill Clinton become vegan? Because yeah. It's heart issues.
Well, he was about to die.
Yeah.
That fat fuck was just fucking eating cheeseburgers constantly. Yeah, cholesterol plays a critical role in brain function. And cholesterol comes from animals. I mean, that's where it comes from. I don't know if cholesterol is even available in the plant community, the plant kingdom. Is it? I don't think so.
You're asking the wrong guy.
I think cholesterol only comes from animals. I'm pretty sure. Cholesterol is a substance genetically painted as black by the medical and scientific community, but the fact remains it is a substance that is innate to the body and forms a critical part of, among other things, key hormones, vitamin D, and cell membranes. It's also very concentrated in the brain, where it contributes to the functioning of synapses, tiny gaps between the cells which allow nerves to communicate with each other. That's one of the things that we had with Dave Asprey talked about this, and Rob Wolf from who's a primal diet advocate. He's a advocate of the
what's that diet?
Well, it's his whole. It's all the paleo. The idea.
Yeah,
look, there's a lot of logic behind paleo diets when it comes to the human body not being designed to consume wheat, not being designed to eat pastas, and designed to eat lean grass-fed protein and vegetables. Like, that's really what we're supposed to eat.
Is that what I'm thinking? What's the diet where you can – it all has to be stuff that you eat with – use your hands to eat. Is that what I'm thinking about?
No, paleo, you can use forks.
Yes. No, but there's a buddy of mine who has some new diet. It's like the caveman diet, where it's only things you can eat that cavemen would eat.
He's probably an idiot.
I didn't say he wasn't an idiot.
There's no reason to not use a fork. The forks are so unnutritious.
I think it was like the idea of anything. Like, you only eat stuff that cavemen would eat.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think you're misreading what he's saying. That's paleo. That's Paleolithic era.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
diet.
So I'm thinking about the right thing. I just said it incorrectly.
Well, no, it's not about utensils is what.
He was using that as a way to explain it to me.
Oh, okay. I see.
Because I don't understand things.
But either. The idea is that genetically we're not much different from the people that lived 40, 50,000 years ago. In fact, we're probably exactly the same. You could take a guy from 50,000 years ago who was a Homo sapien, dress him up in clothes, and stick him in a movie theater, and before the movie starts, you wouldn't even be able to figure out who the caveman is. It's just once the movie begins and he starts fucking screaming and running out of the room, then you know that's the caveman.
Or depending on the movie, it might be me.
You think?
That's screaming, yeah.
More than a caveman who's never seen a movie before?
Yeah, you're probably right.
What would be the one movie that would make you scream?
Les Mis, probably?
Les Mis, yeah.
I don't know.
I saw that Les Mis thing. I'm like, if I had to choose between going to jail where nobody talked to me for 24 hours or watching Les Mis for 24 hours straight, I think
did
I
you,
would,
you did, I didn't see
I would
it.
Take solitary for a day.
How was it?
Nothing. I don't know. I have no idea. There's no way I'm going to see that.
Okay.
No way I'm going to see a movie about a bunch of people crying that lived in a day where there was no TV or internet, and they were all fucking singing everything and crying.
I
and
heard
it's raining.
That was when a friend told me that it was so bad that you should maybe see it, that it might be fun. But I don't know about you guys. I'm not one of those guys who likes – I don't get enjoyment out of things that are so bad they're good. That's not fun for me.
I do out of some things. Like, do you ever see The Day After Tomorrow?
No.
It's that really bad movie about global warming where it becomes like this crazy snowstorm that covers North America and everybody dies.
Wait,
except Dennis
familiar.
Quaid, who goes camping. He's outside. It's fucking 100 million degrees below zero. He's got a tent. He's fine. Just sipping coffee and
Dennis Quaid's like, get over here, guys. That's his voice through the whole movie. Like, he had a weird voice. Like, it sounded like a South Park character.
What are you
I thought.
Talking about?
Watch that movie and think of
Stop.
South Park. And
Stop
it sounds so
it.
Much like a South
you're
Park
You're totally
character.
Making something up. Pull up a scene.
All right.
Pull up a scene in Dennis Quaid. You totally made that up.
No.
Yes, yeah. First of all, he's a fine actor, and you are disparaging that man's name and reputation The Day After Tomorrow.
This guy's got insurance. You can't disparage his name.
Yeah, you can't do that, bro. I have a fucking podcast to look out for. Yeah. Can't just be making shit up.
I just think.
Shut up, man. Stop it with the gay voice. Stop
it.
It's
not a gay voice.
Listen, Paris Hilton is already mad at me. Or the other one. Perez Hilton. One of those guys.
Check this out and tell me if this does not sound like somebody from South Park is doing Dennis Quaid's voice.
This better not be a parody site you took me to, you fuck. 20th Century Fox presents 10,000 Years Ago. One storm changed the face of our planet. That is true, by the way. This year, maybe not a storm, maybe it was an asteroid impact. Pretty sure it will happen.
Meteorologists are at a loss to explain what is causing this weather.
Are you getting it on camera?
What you see is happening now.
There is so much damage.
JPL was battered by the largest hailstorm on record.
Weather experts yesterday slamming into the
apparently in New Delhi. It's snowing.
It's a tornado. Yes, a twister.
This is just massive.
There is a wall of water coming towards New York City. Everybody, get out! You people.
If you're listening to this at home, this is not nearly as interesting as watching it.
Can we do
I forgot that Jake Gyllenhaal was in this.
The farther they go, the safer they'll be.
It's easy for him to suggest this plan. He's safely here in Washington.
His son is in Manhattan.
From the director. I'm trying to reach Sam.
Oh, so have I.
Jack?
That's him. Sam's that's his voice.
What should we do?
I will come for you. Do you understand me?
Shut up.
I will come for you.
Shut it off. Shut it off. Shut it off. You made things up again.
What?
Turn it back on. You made things. Turn my voice on. You made it up again, you fuck. There's nothing wrong with that guy's voice.
I will come for
wait,
you.
Wait, shut the
I
fuck up.
I will come for you.
No,
I gotta go with Joe Rogan on this.
You just wasted our time.
That sounds like
you're the one who played it. I'm just saying that my opinion of Dennis Quaid's voice sounds
you
like
lied.
He sounds like Trey Parker. That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
that's
well,
all I'm saying. You take it to that level for some reason. So.
You are absolutely incorrect. He does not sound like Trey.
Well, that's your opinion. That's your opinion.
My opinion? Oh, my God. Brian, we all heard it.
Hey,
he sounded totally normal. You're like, hi, guys. That is not what he sounded like.
We listened to one sentence, by the way. If you want
okay,
it,
listen.
If you, don't...
you put on some headphones, and you play it, and you find me a representative of what the fuck you were saying. And if it's not true... we're going to hold you down.
Hey, it's
we're going to pee
not,
in your mouth.
It's not a true thing. I'm just saying I think Dennis Quaid's voice sounds like Trey Parker doing South Park. That's
okay,
all I'm saying.
Well, I'm saying you might have brain damage.
No.
I'm saying you
I
might need
to go to a
doctor.
I bet there's people that agree with me on that.
Yeah,
I'd be a mediator on this.
Three or four crazy fucks out there going, yes, Rat Band, I'm on the Earth side. You are persecuted on that show. You're totally correct in your assumption that he sounds like Trey Parker.
You sound like Dennis Quaid just now.
Yes, a lot like... what I wanted to sound like. But that's a good example of a movie that's so bad that it becomes funny.
See, I haven't seen it. Now, after seeing that promo, I do want to watch
have
it.
You ever seen,
Showgirls? Yeah, that's a good... That's an example of a good movie that's fun. Have you seen The Room?
What is The Room?
You don't know? You guys know about The Room?
Yeah.
I have that. I have that on video.
Dude,
somebody made me buy it.
It's the best.
It's hilarious. It's so bad. I can't get through it, though.
It's tough. But in the theaters, it's almost like I never saw a Rocky Horror Picture Show or anything like that in the theaters. But this is like you go there. I think the theater's gone, actually, where they used to play.
The one in Sunset?
Or it's there. So now it's a different theater or something.
Yeah. For folks who don't know what we're talking about, The Room, there was a billboard on La Cienega, no, on La Brea, and that billboard was up for years. That was The Room, the movie, and it was this guy's face.
Tommy Wiseau.
Who's this weird-looking dude who looks like a monster or something. He looks, like, strange.
And he gets naked in the film.
Well, in the movie, he, like, gets to fuck all the girls, and he's, like, the star of the movie. He wrote the movie for himself, apparently,
and paid for it all, apparently. And he, paid for the whole thing. It was... here's the story I was told was that he put it in all these film festivals, and some stoned kid at UCLA went to like the UCLA film festival by himself and just walked into this film. And he comes back to his dorm room, he goes, "Dudes, I'm not positive, but I think I just saw the best film ever made. Will you guys come back tonight? They're playing it again." And he went back to the 10 friends, and they all thought it was fucking
Ad. Is that ad still up?
No.
They took it down.
And no, but he paid to have it, to put it. He paid the money to make it in competition for the Oscars. You know, it costs a lot of money to like make your movie to try to get nominated. And it is. I used to go to the screenings when they had like a few years ago, and it was the funniest thing. He would do Q&As before he would go to every screening while people laughed at his film.
Oh.
And he would go do a Q&A beforehand. I remember one guy goes, they would make up questions to see what kind of crazy answers he would come with.
Right.
And this guy goes, is it true that your film was funded by Nazi gold? And he, this is how crazy the guy was. And he goes, he just goes, no comment.
Wow.
Like you're supposed to say no, dude.
Yeah.
Like he did. Obviously, the answer is no, but he just doesn't really understand the questions. Either.
Is that he doesn't understand it, or is it he's just so fucking stupid?
He's so dumb
trying to play cool.
Because I went there with my friends for my birthday, and he signed my poster. You know, happy birthday, Ben. And I was walking. I went to the bathroom with the poster in my hand. He goes, "You want me to autograph your poster?" I'm like, "You just did 5 minutes ago." He's like, "All right." And he picks it out and he autographs it. I have a poster of him with the autograph twice.
Wow. So there's something wrong with him.
There's something really wrong. But he's got a lot of money. And
where did he get his money?
That's the thing. No one knows.
Hmm.
Not Nazi. Well, it could be Nazi gold. We don't know. He didn't come.
Whoa. So maybe he's like a vampire or something.
That people have had the vampire. Like people are trying to find pictures of him in the daylight because people claim he's a vampire.
Well, he looks like a vampire. That's
he's got a very
weird
vampire.
If
look.
You look at the movie, the poster rather, the room, the movie. When I was on the road, I thought it was a horror movie.
It looks like a horror film.
Because he's brooding. His hair is long. He looks like Chris Gaines.
He claims
Chris
he's
Gaines
doing.
If he was.
Yeah.
What if he was the whole time?
What if it was Garth Brooks' new role? I think I fucked up when I told him it was Garth Brooks. If I just make movies as this new dude, I'm telling you, man.
But didn't they remake?
I'm fucking moody sometimes.
Didn't they remake the trailers of The Room and turn it into like a comedy?
Yeah.
When they found out people were laughing, they made it. Trailer?
Apparently, he tried to pretend
that he meant
that
to do it,
meant
yeah.
it. Everything wrong with The Room in 8 minutes or less. Spoilers, duh. Oh, awesome. This is great. Written by Tommy Wiseau and the Holy Ghost. Look, the weird. Okay, he comes in, and there's a really hot girl. And
let's
he's,
count up
he's
every time Tommy
hideous.
Says hot. Here we go.
Oh, hi, Danny.
Hi.
Hi, Doggy.
Hi, babe.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Danny.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark.
That's hi, Mark.
Yeah, he introduces himself to everyone
oh,
over
hi,
and over
Danny.
Again.
Oh, hey,
so
Danny.
He's got this weird look, too. The guy's got long, obviously dyed black hair. And he looks like he's probably in his like late 40s, but like really like harsh features.
But he's playing like a 23-year-old.
Yeah, but he's playing like this stud. And so he hooks up with all these girls in this movie, so he's always like banging. He's like banging left and right in this movie.
Oh, I love this song.
When laying down the soundtrack, the record skipped.
Oh, hi, Johnny. I didn't know it was you.
The flower shop owner doesn't know it's Johnny, even though no one on the entire earth looks like Johnny.
You're my favorite customer.
So what was up with not recognizing me?
You're my favorite customer.
Yeah, that
holy shit, Denny is a creepy bastard.
Just kidding.
Holy shit, Denny is a creepy bastard. Tommy Wiseau reads lines he wrote like he doesn't understand them.
Think I will ever get it. They betray me, they didn't keep their promise, they trick me, and I don't care anymore.
The best drink to give someone who doesn't drink is a combination of scotch and vodka.
If you love me...
Scotch and vodka? Yeah, that was his drink in the movie, scotch and vodka.
Scotch and vodka.
Scotchka is not your mother's cooking. You do not need to lie about scotchka.
That's Mocaine.
Mocaine. Yeah, it is a weird movie.
I recommend that movie to everyone. It's the fucking best. As someone who doesn't like that kind of stuff, as I was saying,
they have screenings all the time still, I guess.
Where are they now?
I get invited all the time in, I think, maybe the Silent Movie Theater or somewhere like that.
That's probably where it is. Because it was at the Sunset 5, and now that's like Robert Redford Theater.
Yeah, it seems like it would be a good thing to go to, get a little drunk and go with a bunch of friends.
It is. I've done, yeah. It's fun. Until that theater closed, they would have like four rooms. You know, no pun intended, like four different screens going on at once and pack the place.
For The Room?
Yes. And people and he would be there while people are laughing at his movie. It's crazy.
Wow. Well, I guess for a guy like that, he must be so torn because it's obviously getting a lot of attention.
And getting his money back.
And he's getting his money back and he's becoming famous.
Yeah, but I feel like his fame has like died down? Like it's kind of old news. Maybe he'll come back again. Because he was telling people he's doing a new movie with De Niro, which is obviously made up. But I haven't heard what he's up to. As well.
You never know, man. De Niro's been doing some fucking
I don't think he's doing
pretty whack movies lately.
I don't know.
You see that one that he did with Sharon Stone where he was a wizard or something like that?
No, what was that?
What was that movie? Pull up the photo. Just he's done some fucking clearly gets paid movies.
I guess the DVD of The Room, the commentary, the director's commentary is gold.
Really? Yeah.
I can only imagine.
I'm sure
this guy
great.
Talking about his motivation in each individual scene.
But someone posted online too the auditions
for this movie
for the movie.
Oh god,
that's hilarious.
Which is
oh
really
no,
good.
I can't watch. Well, one of the things about moving to Hollywood, I moved here in 94. I had no experience whatsoever with actors. I didn't know any. I knew comics, who a lot of people will say that comics are a lot like actors because they're very needy and they're very self-centered. But I don't find that to be true. I think the really good comics, especially, they're really interesting people. They're fun to hang out with and talk to. But actors, I've met some actors that were so bizarrely self-centered and so bizarrely, like, unaware of how a normal person would look at them and how they behave, that this kind of the room movie thing makes sense to me. If you didn't live here and didn't know these people in real life...
Yeah, it's weird you say that. I wonder if you were not in L.A., if you would... It would be as funny.
Like, right, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
really you're laughing at it because it's because you live in Hollywood. And
it's
this
the
is...
worst representative of that guy.
Exactly.
But you know that guy.
Totally.
Yeah.
And there's probably a piece of me in that guy, a very small piece, but still, you know, like I've auditioned for shit worse than that. I mean, actually, not worse than that, but, you know, I've auditioned for some shit.
I've met people that were completely crazy, that were making their own movies and coming up to you with project they're trying to do.
I know a lot of those people still. Yeah.
My God. Have you ever seen Windy City Heat?
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing reminds me of Windy City
Heat. What the fuck is funnier than Windy City Heat? What's funnier?
Well, that guy, the problem with Windy City Heat is I know that guy. That guy was always around. He was always around the Comedy Store. That guy was annoying as fuck. And they sort of legitimized him in a way and gave him some juice.
Well, it was funny too because I just did again. Not to brag, but I did.
Go ahead, by the way.
I did Kimmel last week, and so like all the writers, you know, he produced that film, and so all the writers and producers and stuff are like, you know, they'll be nice to me, and I'm just like, it's Sal Steinbergowitz Green, but you know, I'm like, you know, Uncle's cousin Sal, like I know him from Windy City Heat.
Right.
And, like
right.
the right like mole, I know him from the movie and stuff, as opposed to like their jobs on Kimmel.
Right, right.
Because I've watched Windy City Heat so many times.
Aren't they doing a new one?
I keep hearing about it.
They filmed about 5 years ago, they filmed the beginning part, just to try it out. You know, like the idea of Johnny Knoxville was supposed to take over as Scary Perry. And I actually got to sit there in the filming, and I sat next to Jimmy Kimmel watching this, and it was beautiful. And then Scary Perry comes in and goes, "No, I'm Scary Perry," you know, and stuff. And I don't know if whatever happened to it, because they also made a Ding Dong Show movie that immediately got shelved for some reason. Only a few people saw it, and I heard it was really
awesome.
Well,
there's a Winnie City Heat Big Three podcast that's really funny, but I don't listen to
Well, the Ding Dong movie, the problem with the Ding Dong movie would be that I guarantee the people in the Ding Dong movie probably protested them getting put in the movie to be mocked like that.
Yeah.
If you never heard of the Ding Dong Show, Don Barris, who's a buddy of ours, does a show at the Comedy Store on a regular basis where he brings the worst acts known to man. Like this guy, Peter Chen, and these like terrible, terrible comedians. And
he's one of the big three from Windy City Heat.
And he's always been doing this. Don's been doing this almost like this constant running art project since the beginning of time. Since as long as I've known him, he's had these shows there where he would do these ding-dong shows where he just has these unbelievably bad comedians, and he treats them like they're artists, and you know they go up and.
I still haven't seen it live, but you know.
We did the podcast at Death Squad.
Yeah, he does. How many? He's done how many so far?
We just finished our 13th.
I'll listen to that.
Yeah, he's a great guy too. He's in Windy City Heat too, right?
Yep.
He's one of the big three. He's the star.
Yeah.
Don Barris is awesome. He's a great guy too. He's like one of those guys that like. He's like, to me, he's like a hidden treasure in the world of entertainment. It's like, how the fuck do more people not know about Don Barris?
Yeah. You know? I mean, watching him every night, it's amazing that he does what he does every single fucking night.
Yeah.
He does that. And I mean, he's there every night till 3. He does Kimmel and then he goes straight there.
Yeah.
And he's there every morning till 3 in the morning, just like entertaining, like sometimes. Two people in the audience, you know, one
sometimes
person.
Sometimes just people in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Sometimes he'll do a set in the parking lot. He's hilarious and he's a great guy. He just, for whatever reason, the world hasn't found his place yet.
But no, yeah. I've like Windy City Heat is different than The Room. I'll show that to friends like back in Kentucky and they'll be cracking up and they give it to their friends.
Have you seen Showgirls?
Yes, Showgirls.
Roadhouse?
But Windy City Heat's a legitimately good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Windy City Heat's good on purpose.
Yes, exactly.
Whereas Showgirls and Roadhouse were like...
Showgirls is probably the best example of what we were talking about.
Roadhouse is the best example of a cocaine movie. Well, you know that they were on coke when they were making that movie. Like, there's no other way you could think this was good. You got to be coked up and go, oh, yeah, fuck yeah. Tell them pain don't hurt. Pain don't hurt.
I think that's most of the 80s movies, probably.
Showgirls, too. Showgirls reeks of coke.
Certainly in the writing.
Yeah, well, in the performance too. I mean, so the whole thing is just chaos. It's just like you thought this was what? and you took the girl from Saved by the Bell, and what? And how come no one ever talked her into doing some squats before this movie?
Exactly. Well, what? How much did that? How much of a? It was a horrible bomb, right?
Oh yeah. Well, I think it made money though.
It had to have. Over so many
time.
People,
yeah, over time.
They have those special editions now where you can buy it with like that comes with like the stripper stuff and
the,
all. That.
The scene where they hair. Fuck, where she fucks that guy from what was that that. What was that show? Blue Velvet? Was that
Kyle MacLachlan?
Yeah, that guy. Remember she fucks him in the pool? Holy, it's the most ridiculous thing ever. She starts flopping around and slapping the water like a fish while he's banging her. Yeah. And he's just like,
It's a long way down from Blue Velvet.
And yeah. You're like, what are you doing? No one fucks like that. Stop this. This doesn't make any sense. But in the movie, it totally made sense. Like, yeah, flop the water. She's wild. She's unpredictable. Cut. Get in my trailer. Suck my cock real quick. Get it hard. Get it hard. We got to film this fucking movie. We got to finish this movie so you can suck my cock more. All right. Action. Fucking chaotic, crazy movie. Have you seen Grizzly Man?
Yes. I would say it's better than Showgirls.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe the greatest movie ever made.
It is a great movie.
As far as documentaries, when I recommend people, if they say, if you recommend a documentary, I say Grizzly Man.
It's weird because mine would be the one I said before, The Staircase, that you got to see.
That one bums me out, man.
No, you'll love it. You'll love it. I'm trying to think. But yeah, I spend most of my – if I'm going to watch a movie, I'll watch a documentary way before any kind of – that's all I watch is documentaries.
Yeah, I've been watching quite a few of them lately. This is a good time for documentaries. I love that I have the Apple iTunes or whatever the fuck it is.
Apple TV.
Yeah. And you go to the documentary section, and it's just documentary. It's there's so many.
I saw this really good Dave Grohl made this Sound City movie.
Yeah.
About that studio. Did you watch that?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't watch it yet.
It was really cool. He got the thumbs up over here. It was great, man. It was like the story of this – recording studio. I think it was in the Valley, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's Northridge, I believe.
Yeah, it's like all this, like Nevermind was all these classic albums. Fleetwood Rumors was made there. Like,
wow.
The story of all these great fucking albums. And Dave Grohl made the movie, and it's fucking great.
But Rumors doesn't get nearly enough credit in the world of great albums. When people don't talk about like Fleetwood Mac,
what's better than Rumors?
It's fucking phenomenal.
You know what else is great too? I was just talking about this with a friend. Tusk is pretty amazing too.
It's pretty fucking good.
Yeah, both.
Dude, Fleetwood Mac was badass.
At their height, there wasn't much better.
Yeah, I was listening the other day. You know,
Jam Band's all about Timberlake over there.
That song, You Make Love and Fun. God damn, that's a good song.
Well, the Rumors is spotless.
Yeah, yeah.
And I say Tusk is too, but some people would argue. But I love that album just because.
I heard Gene Simmons made a quote, made a tweet about a video that I've been meaning to watch for a while called "Searching for Sugar Man."
Oh, I saw it.
How good
it's
was that?
It's really good. I have a very cynical view of documentaries sometimes, so I'm not sure how much. But I googled it and I didn't find much. What I do is I watch documentaries and I Google it and see how much – like if there's a lot of people talking about how it's bullshit.
Right.
And the bullshit meter on that one was pretty low. So it could be
– Well, tell people what the story, the premise
is. It's a guy
is.
who was a musician in Michigan and was like – made two albums that no one had heard of. And he think he worked at maybe some kind of factory or something. No, he was unknown for 30 years. Turns out his albums had taken off in
South Africa.
And it was part of the apartheid movement, really. It was the soundtrack to his albums, and he didn't know he was so famous over there. And
like Elvis famous.
And people thought the story had come out that he died. And like 20 years later, someone heard the news that he didn't die. He was living in an apartment in Detroit, and they brought him back. You know, it comes back. It's almost like an Anvil type thing where he comes back and he's like, goes over there and just plays these stadiums. And now he played Letterman, I think. He's now going on tour and playing big gigs.
He was huge. And meanwhile, just had a family, normal guy, raised his daughters.
But had no idea that
he
was told that these albums were bombs.
Yeah.
That they didn't make a penny.
Well, meanwhile, it's good music.
It's pretty good. Yeah. A buddy of mine just saw the show here and said it was good.
Well, we were talking about our friends, Honey Honey. I found out about Honey Honey through a guy on my message board. Who just sent me a dude named Balls of Steel, that's his name, sent me this link and said, this is going to be your new favorite band. And I went
What kind
there.
Of music is it?
It's like country, rock, like sort of rock country-ish. It's very hard to describe. But when I listened to it, I went, how the fuck are they not famous? Like every now and then you'll hear music. And they have two CDs and both of them are excellent. And
I'm going to go listen to
them. The first one is called First Rodeo, and then the second one, I forget what the name of the second one is, but whatever it is, it's fucking amazing. It's like you listen to it and you go, how the fuck are
these
guys
not
famous? Yeah, it's on iTunes.
I'll check it out.
But I think it's hard as fuck to make it in the world of music today, especially because of the fact that there's not that much out there as far as like radio.
There's
like,
no, dude. It's if you want to play instruments, fucking forget it.
And it's not that much as far as like being able to sell videos and shit, or being able to sell records. Like, good fucking luck, man.
Although it has spread out too, you can make it's easier to make a living, like a low, you know, low money. There's more bands making like $50,000 a year than there ever were, but there's nobody making that like big money. That's the thing.
Well, this band, they've been touring around the country and they're slowly starting to take steam, but it doesn't make any sense. When you see some of the shit that's famous, and some of the people that are famous, like, these guys are like completely, totally legit. Like, how are they not huge?
Well, I don't even listen to the radio anymore. I mean, do you listen to like music on the radio?
K-Rock, I listen to in LA upon occasion, but for the most part, no. But it's just, it takes more than being talented today. Today, we're in this weird, like, void area where what you're starting to get is people that become famous through the internet, through, you know, people retweeting and sending their, you know, YouTube likes and stuff like that. Like, you're starting to see that. But, like, putting out a CD and just releasing it in a record store, like, it doesn't happen anymore.
Those days are gone. Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You have to have an internet presence.
Which is cool if you were a band, let's say, from a small town in Kentucky and you wanted to get your music out there. It's a different world. You can get it everywhere. But, yeah, the it's harder to make that giant leap.
Yeah, well, but you made it, dude. Look at you.
Yeah, exactly.
You're fucking Comedy Central.
The fucking biggest – I'm the hottest comedian in showbiz.
Living large. Did they let you into the Daniel Tosh Hooker Factory where you go and see all the prostitutes?
Oh, yeah. I've been there a long time. No, I've never met him.
They give you the golden robe?
Listen, I got to get some higher numbers before I get to that.
Yeah, Tosh apparently can sell out stadiums with one tweet.
Seriously?
Yep.
Apparently, I believe it.
Yeah. He puts out one tweet and he sells out like 20 stadiums in a row. Yeah. He's balling.
The lead into my show is a rerun of his show that beats my show. I mean, like an old rerun.
It's a fucking good show, man. Anybody who has anything to say bad about that show is a hater. That's a good, solid fucking show.
Listen, man, I can't say anything bad about a show that my show that paid for my show. You know, what am I going to say?
Hey, exactly. I recommend Tosh Point Hole, by the way, which is one of the movies at the hotel in San Diego. It's a gay Tosh.
No, you Tosh don't parody. Recommend that. Stop.
Was that,
it.
Was that really in a hotel?
Yeah.
That's not cool.
Tosh Point
Hole. How rude, you fuck.
Yeah.
This Friday night, Brian is going to be at the Ice House Pasadena with Tony Hinchcliffe. Who else?
Kevin Christie, Allison Shula, and there's a bunch of people that are going to be added to the show in the next day or two. But tickets are at icehousecomedy.com. It's at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, and that place is the Ice House, if you've never been there. To us, like, right now, that's like our base. That's pretty much our home base, right? I mean, that's kind of Mecca for comedians these days. It's a really unusual spot. It's a beautiful club. It's in Pasadena. It's the oldest club in the country, I believe.
Yeah.
I think it was in the 1950s that they first opened. It became a comedy club in the 60s. 51st anniversary. Yeah. Jesus Christ. 51st fucking anniversary. I mean, that's insanity, man.
Yeah.
That is a long time.
That's where Steve Martin used to do it. In his book that you can get on Audible, he talks about the Ice House throughout that whole
thing. I read that book, but after your recommendation, I want to listen to that book.
Yeah, well, we're there all the time. I'll be there probably again next week when I get back from Nashville this weekend. I'll schedule something. And we try to do it, like last time was Ari and Ian and Brian, and we just try to do like all of our friends, and it's just it's a beautiful, awesome club to be in. It's a part of comedy history, it really is, and we support that place like it's a goddamn.
Yeah, that was a great show, man. Last Wednesday, that was a great show.
It was pretty fun, man. Yeah.
That was the drunk name.
Yeah, that was the full.
I was fucked up on stage. It was funny.
We were all fucked up. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, Shane. I haven't talked to Shane since. I called him to apologize the next day. I'm like, I might have yelled at you, man. I don't know what I did.
Did he answer the phone?
No.
Did he text or call back?
No.
Uh oh.
No, he tweeted me. All right, cool. He's all right. He's just, but I think I yelled at some other dude named Matt. It's a lot of craziness. Do you drink, Ben?
I used to drink a lot. I'm slow, not on purpose. I'm just getting too old for it or something. I don't know.
How old are you?
I'm 37.
How dare you?
Yeah.
You're too old.
37.
To drink.
No, I just started drinking Jacks.
No, I just I don't know. I can't hold my alcohol anymore. It's just weird. The last like five times I drank has been really odd.
Ben, you need to party with some looser-minded people. You need to hang with us a little bit.
Yeah. I'm down. Let's do it. Ice House, let's do it.
Yeah. Let's do it. Ice House.
I'm fucking
we'll
there,
make
man.
It happen.
I'm there.
Ben Hoffman, thank you for coming aboard, man.
Thank you
really
so much. Thanks for having me, man.
Folks, Thursday nights, Comedy Central. Watch the shit out of the Ben Hoffman Show because it's fucking awesome. It's called The Ben Show, and you can catch it every Thursday night at
10 p.m. on Comedy Central.
The new Comedy Central. Comedy Central's taking off, bitches. They got it together now.
They got it together now, and if you're watching on Ustream, watch... Should I save that?
Yeah.
If you're watching on Ustream Live, watch tonight, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 here, after the Workaholic season finale.
What's the Ustream channel that it's on?
No, I'm saying if people are watching us live right now, they can watch it. Another episode is a new one tonight.
And you're going to live tweet tonight, correct?
I'm going to live tweet tonight.
And that is The Ben Show on Twitter. The Ben Show, one word. Ben Hoffman, you're a prince among men. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much for having me. I had a blast.
Thank you to the House of Thrones for sending me this amazing gift.
That thing's
House
awesome.
Rogan, I'm honored. I can't wait for March 31st for the new season.
Holy shit.
Plays this theme when you open it. God damn it, we're living in the future. Living in the future, you fucks. Thanks to Audible.com for sponsoring our podcast. Go to audible.com/Joe for a free audiobook. And for 30 free days of audible.com service, more than 100,000 titles to choose from, amazing audiobook selection, very cool company. Please support them as they support us. Thanks to onnit.com, that's O-N-N-I-T, makers of Primal Bells. That's right, you dirty bitches. We got kettlebells with a fucking angry chimpanzee face on. And that's just the beginning. We'll have some more crazy stuff coming soon. Kettlebells, DVDs, and lots of groovy supplements for health, fitness, welfare, and cognition. If you use the code name Rogan, you will save 10% off any and all supplements. All right, folks. We love the shit out of you. We'll see you next Monday with the great Bill Burr. We will also have Dr. Chris Ryan will be joining us again on the podcast. And Stanley Krippner will be joining us in a special Saturday. Prestigious scientist, well-regarded scientist, who's going to come and talk to us. We got Douglas Rushkoff coming in. We got a lot of really cool guests coming up. We appreciate the fuck out of all the positive energy and tweets. We're number one right now on iTunes in the comedy department, and don't think that we don't appreciate all the love and all the support. And we're completely, totally committed to keeping this fucking train rolling, all right? I'm done, god damn it. I can't talk forever. We love you. You keep it together, you fucks. We'll see you in a couple of days or something. See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Dr. Squatch. Look, it's important to take care of yourself, and it's equally important that you use the right products like Dr. Squatch. They have high-performing natural soaps and more with no harmful ingredients, so you can look and smell your best. Try their Pine Tar Bar Soap and Lotion, Bay Rum Deodorant, or Woodland Pine Cologne. Most of their scents are available across multiple products, so if you really like it, you can get a whole lineup. And right now, they have an amazing offer for new customers. Get 20% off your first purchase of any amount or a subscription order by going to drsquatch.com/JRE or use the code JRE at checkout.